This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Josh, earlier on Behind the Curtain, we discussed the whole vegan and that thing and how much we all find pleasure in food. And let's just say you had a week this past week, something that we've dreaded for a long time, the passing of your beloved Pumpernickel.
Right.
And the reason I tie it in with the vegan talk is that I would have thought, knowing your love of food, of a good pastrami, of a coffee cake, of a Danish, have you found yourself turning to any type of food or comfort in this time? Because it sounded like you hadn't.
I've been caring less about what I eat in the past week. I've eaten, you know what I ate on Thursday? I had a giant bag of Fritos. The corn chips, which I don't think I've had since I was a child.
It's been too long.
It was very comforting. And my sister came to visit and brought three giant Danishes. So I had those in less than 24 hours.
Three?
Yeah. I'll probably be gaining some weight over the next few weeks.
Yeah. I mean, we've all been dealing with it, feeling your pain symbiotic this week. Mike, do you have your phone with you by any chance?
I do.
Would you care to crack that open and read the text that I sent you yesterday? It was Thursday. We were only a couple of days removed, and I was sort of still feeling everything that we went through. Why don't you go ahead and read that text I sent you yesterday from while we were here. Yes. So I stand in solidarity with you in the eating.
Right. Thursday, 12:46 p.m. I just ate the entire bag of crispy taco chips and threw up in a trash can.
Oh, God.
I've never been lower.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
If you'll notice, in the cubbies back in our what we call the pit, which is sort of our office, we have little overhead bins that we throw some food, snacks, headphones, weird candy dishes filled with medicines. And I found, in a moment of weakness, the bag of crispy taco chips.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling a little low on Thursday. Mm. The week kind of kicked my ass. I can't stop thinking about you and Pumpernickel. And I crack open the bag of crispy taco chips.
Yeah.
And I black out. 12 minutes later, there's nothing but powder at the bottom of this bag. And I have what I call a puke burp. Where I go to burp, but there's definitely something else there. And I kind of stand up like, oof, that doesn't end. A moment later, it's just into the trash can. Just an entire bag of chips comes back out.
Disgusting.
My body rejected an entire bag of crispy taco Lays because that's what I was going through because of what you were going through.
Have you thought about drinking at all?
Ooh.
It's crossed my mind, but I don't.
Because that's exactly what I did as soon as I got that text Monday from you. I was sitting in my car outside the gym, and I immediately put it into gear and drove about 40 yards to the liquor store.
Oh, my God. Why?
And bought a pint of whiskey.
Why? Did you drink the whole thing?
Most of it, yes.
Oh, my God.
You know, what's funny is that I got that text, and after I got up off of my living room floor and had a deep, snot-bubbling sob, I walked over to my liquor cabinet and grabbed a room-temperature bottle of Tito's and took a long suck off of it. I mean, one of those, not a shot's worth, but like one of those big mouthfuls that's about 2.5 shots worth, where you're like, this is about to feel like I'm swallowing snake venom. It burns so bad, but I need to dull the pain right now. So I also got equally as drunk, equally as filled with regretful amounts of food, and I hope you find a kinship with us in that.
Yeah, I mean, there's still time to start drinking, but didn't do it this past week.
I'd do anything to take you drinking. Anything to take you drinking and to get you to and from safely. Would you consider just one, not a hangover quality drink, but one where you either get a little loosey-goosey and start doing finger guns in the bar and, hey, want to see which hand I've got the hidden card in type bar tricks, or maybe just nothing but raw emotion comes flying out of you kind of drinking session? Would you entertain that idea?
Maybe after I get another animal.
Fantastic. Hear about it now. It was a moment that some of us were prepared for, none of us wanted, and we all dealt with together on Behind the Curtain. Hey, cross that window. I don't need onlookers in here right now. I don't need anybody to be treating us like this human aquarium that we are. Show's yours, brother.
Well, I had my dog Pumpernickel for 12 years, and she passed away last night, and
She's been sick for a while. And, you know, she's been really part of the show for 12 years. She's been part of the station for 12 years. And I wanted to share it with all the listeners, because the first thing that people say to me at events, the first question, it never fails, is, how's Pumpernickel? I think I've mentioned when I went to, I once went to BWI, and the TSA agent said, how's Pumpernickel? Didn't ask anything about me.
Yeah,
just, right.
Yeah, how's the dog?
Yeah, how's the dog?
How's Pumpernickel?
To hell with Josh. but I got over that. And look, she's been sick for a few years. She had kidney failure, and it causes blood pressure, high blood pressure. So she was on this medicine. But, you know, we were managing it with special food. But things really started deteriorating when she got picky with that special food. So because they can't eat stuff with high protein, because the kidneys, the whole thing is the kidneys can't flush out the toxins or whatever. I'm not a doctor. And so she gets picky with the food, the canned food, and they've got three different versions, maybe more. So we go back and forth to different versions, and she's just getting pickier and pickier. And over the past year, she has really – she would stop eating some days. And she can't eat people food, because that caused – she had pancreatitis. You know, so anything greasy would cause a flare-up. She'd be in pain. And but this – what a great dog. And she would just the past – few months, I finally decided to try to figure out once and for all what was wrong. So took her to a specialist, and they did an endoscopy, and they determined that she had inflammatory bowel disease. So, okay, started June, July, I don't even remember, started treating her for that medicine, a steroid, perfect, she's eating. That lasted a month. Then she gets picky again, and it just goes downhill from there. She's not eating stuff, and you know, you take her in for IV fluid, and when she gets the IV fluid, she does better. She gets her strength back, but as soon as you stop the IV fluid, the kidneys start to fail again. And they just said, you know, we could do an operation. And this was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. We could do an operation. We'll go in. We'll figure out what's what's definitely wrong. And they said on the day that they were going to do that, you know, if we do this, there's a chance she'll just go downhill. It'll make things even worse. I said, forget it. Just don't do the – I don't even want to put her through the suffering, any more suffering. I'm going to bring her home, and we'll try to treat it. And – brought her home, and
well, you were out all last week.
Yeah, I was out last week, and because this was after, this was, you know, a few days after the I decided not to do the surgery, and the doctor said, look, this is not going to get better. This is terminal, and you can let her suffer, or you can put her to sleep. And, I mean, that, you know, just the thought of that is horrifying, I think, to anybody with a dog. And I took her home, and the doctor, he said, just feed her anything. She just needs calories. So I was feeding her human food every day, you know, chicken, meatballs.
Whatever you want.
Yeah. And she started losing interest, eating less and less, and she looked just miserable. About a week ago, stopped going for walks. I mean, a dog lives to go for a walk. If a dog stops walking, there's something definitely wrong. She stopped going for walks. Wouldn't go. She loved going for car rides. Stopped going for car rides. But she still had the personality. This is what made it so difficult. She still had that. Those big brown eyes.
Excited to see you.
The wagging tail. The lab is always happy. And that was torturing me. How can I put this dog to sleep when I know her body is failing. I know she might be suffering, but that she's still there. She's still there. She's alert.
Well, and I don't want to get too, you know, if I'm going too far, asking too much, I don't want to pry too much. But so, I mean, can you walk us through, like, so how did, what was?
So, I mean, the last week, the doctor had said this was going to get very bad. You know, she would not only stop eating, there'd be vomiting, there'd be seizures. So I... It didn't get to the point with vomiting and seizures. She was getting, she was picky with her food. And, you know, I was under the impression that the last week she would die. And it didn't happen. And I'm just torturing myself, thinking, I'm completely in limbo. I don't know what to do.
Right.
And I talked to so many different people. I spoke to my sisters. I spoke to my rabbi. I spoke to, just everybody. I was trying to find people with dogs who had gone through this. I was searching for an answer, and there is no answer.
Well, it's funny you say that because, you know, my dog's not getting any younger, and he's having health problems too. Yeah. And I thought about you and what you're going through, and I'm like, how do you – there's no handbook. There's no – and I'm thinking about, like, when my time comes, I'm not going to know what the hell to do or how to do it or what decision to make.
Yeah,
or,
how long
so do you, I'm happy that you, you know, reached out to people because – how you don't, no one prepares you for these things.
No.
So, yesterday I finally saw that, there was, she was lying on the floor in the corner for several hours, just, and then, and I said, maybe this is the day. Like every day I said, maybe this is the day, but then she'd do something. She'd get up and walk.
A little spark of life.
Yeah. Or she'd eat. So I said, well, how can, and she'd be alert. So, and I say, how can I can't do anything. I can't put her to sleep when she's still, I'm negotiating with myself.
Right.
And at the same time, it's killing me seeing her in this condition. And, you know, the rabbi, he said to me, we have an obligation to put them out of their pain. And he said, you have to ask yourself, are you keeping her alive for your sake or for their sake? And I took notes on everything that everybody told me so I could review and try to, so it would help me. And I wrote so much, you know, down during my own time to get my thoughts on paper. But anyway, she wasn't getting better. And yesterday I finally said at about noon to myself that, you know, she's not getting up. This is the signal. This is the sign that I should do it. And I, you know, felt physically sick. And then, she, of course, she gets up. She starts eating a little bit.
Yeah.
Walking around. And I still didn't know. I called the doctor, and I said, "Can you come out today?" She said, "Yeah, you can come out and be there an hour." So, spend time with her. I mean, all of last week. Let me say, I was saying goodbye to her all of last week. You know, and spent an hour with her, and just. Petting her and waiting with her for the doctor to arrive for the event to happen in my house. Doctor arrives with the nurse, and I look out the front door and I see them getting out of the car holding a box. And I just, that's it. I completely lose it because it's so obvious what's about to happen. And they come in and I just don't want it to happen. Am I making the right move, the right decision? And they come in, and I had put one of her beds in the sunroom, opened the windows, not the window, the shades, and it's, you know, without going into the detail, it's a very, the hardest thing I'm dealing with is the last few seconds. And
what does that mean?
I because, you know, they do an injection, mm-hmm. and it's one injection, and the first 30 seconds is they make them sleep. They put them under. They're mm-hmm. not dead. And then the last 30 seconds is the drug. It's the right. overdose.
And that slows the heart.
Yeah, it just shuts everything down. And they...
Where was she at? Were you holding her?
Yeah, you know, I was on the floor. I was petting her, and she's looking at me, and she wagging her tail a little bit. And, you know, they just feel so guilty. I mean, I know people say you did the right thing. You did a kindness. You helped her, but it's just the guilt. Did I do it too soon?
You know you did it.
Or did I didn't want to do it at all. It's like, you know, people, I watched my mother, I feel bad about getting morbid. I watched my mother die in 2005, but I didn't have to pull a plug, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's a situation where, I mean, she trusts me. Her life is in my hands. And she's been by my side, my best friend since 2006. And she's looking at me and she doesn't know what's about to happen. And just the point that got to me was when they started the injection and it's such a powerful anesthetic that they go to sleep right away. And she just kind of laid like, and they don't close their eyes.
She just leaned into you?
Actually leaned into the vet and just seeing her eyes, like life going out of her. And I said, I can't watch the rest. Does she still know I'm here? And the vet said, no, she doesn't. She's asleep now. She doesn't know. So I said, I can't watch the rest of this. I wanted to be there, but I don't feel guilty for not watching the last 30 seconds because she didn't know I was there. But I knew it just really messed with me. If we go to commercial here, because I one other thing to wrap up the story is, this vet who is such a great person. She helped me bury, her. And,
well, I mean, and that's the thing, I didn't want to keep prying, but I do have a lot of questions, you know, and thank you for sharing all this. And look, I don't want you to ever feel guilty. That's, I mean, you did what you had to do.
You know, she said, I didn't want her. I felt like the vet had done so much coming out with the nurse and,
I'm sorry. You know, I love you, right? That you did. I got to read it what Scott said. We saw you do stuff off air here on the phone a lot. You took such good care of her. I mean, you took better care of her. I see some people take care of their own, like family members. I mean, you did. There's enough. And then there's what you did.
Yeah,
which is beyond. So
you gave her an amazing life, dude.
You gave her the best life.
So the vet helped you, like you said, she went above and beyond.
So she goes. It was almost like
I was thinking the same thing. Like what? Okay, so then it's like you did what you had to do, right? Yeah. You say your goodbyes, and then what? Like I don't even what happened.
I said to her. Well, I had it was ready in the back. I had it ready.
In the backyard.
The grave, yeah.
Okay.
But after what I had just seen, I said to her, you know what? I don't even know if I can't handle her right now, the dog. I don't want to see her right now. Maybe you could take her and I'll pick her up later. So she said, well, I don't know if you want to pick her up after, you know, she'll be in a different condition.
Right.
So I said, okay, I'll just do it myself. I'll bury her here. So she said, are you sure I can stay here? And I don't want to impose, and I said to her, no, you know, go home to your family. I you don't have to do it. I can do it myself. And she said, now, are you saying that because you really mean that or you don't want
to put her out?
Right, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And she said, if I didn't mean it, I wouldn't offer.
Yeah. In that moment, you're still thinking of others in that moment. So it speaks to your character.
We went out in the backyard. By the way, on Sunday, I went to Home Depot, walked out with a tarp and a shovel.
Oh, God.
I was praying nobody from no listener would recognize
kind of alarm
me.
Or something.
Yeah.
Thank God you didn't have any, like, clown makeup on or anything.
I never thought I'd say that.
So she helped.
She helped. We went out and.
Did she charge extra?
She didn't charge me anything.
Okay.
She didn't charge me anything. Because I said to her, you know, what are you going to bill me? And she said, for all that you did for this dog, this is the least I could do for you. And, you know, I appreciate that. I'm more than willing to pay. And, but she was shoveling. She obviously shoveled more than me because I'm a total wuss and I'm not strong, but I was shoveling. I want to make that clear. I did do some shoveling. So I kept trying to get her to go home because I didn't want to put her out. And
well, you also probably needed to continue to...
You kind of wanted to be in that moment on your own and just process the feelings in solitude.
And just the thing that she said, which got me, was I said, you know, go home, I can take care of it. And she said, nobody should have to bury their friend alone. And I was oh my God. And that was it, you know. That was it, and it's terrible, and it's I'm not crying now because I've been crying. I mean, I cried last night, I cried last week, and you know, when I'm at work, I'm in work mode, and
distracted.
I'm more on guard, like I'm not as loose, it hurts, but a lot of people go through it, and I want to first of all thank everybody here, you guys, and management and all the listeners. I couldn't believe how many people just were so nice and supportive, because that does make a difference. It helps, and hopefully things will be good.
A lot of love out there for you and Pumpernickel.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and
a lot of sweet offers to people offering rescues or puppies.
There's going to be 700 dogs outside of the building by 10 o'clock.
It's going to be a mob of puppies downstairs.
And I'll take them all.
Your hearts are in the right place, but let's go ahead and just process what we're in right now. Again, very, very sweet, the offers that we've gotten, but let's let Josh just sit and move through this, and then you on your own good time. Can I ask, is an inappropriate question to ask?
No.
Do you think, once... everything is sort of settled in your world, because I know you're still in the midst of it. Do you?
Oh, yeah.
You go ahead and grab another friend?
I'd say two or three.
Two or three.
Come on,
dude,
let's do it.
Do a cat this time also.
I can hardly take care of myself. I don't know if I could take care of two or three dogs.
The petting zoo.
But, yeah, I would love to. You know, it's just, I think I should wait a little while.
All in due time, yes. Process. For those of you just joining us, Spiegel, unfortunately... Pumpernickel, his beloved, is was sick for a long time.
Yeah.
And listen, you gave that dog the best life that dog could have possibly had. You're an amazing dog owner. The amount of love that flowed through you was tangible every time the two of you were together. And she got old and she got sick, and unfortunately is no longer with us.
Yeah.
Look...
You did everything.
Just the thing that sticks with me was that, you know, there is, it seems like there's a little, I don't know, maybe a little bit of guilt lingering there, which I think is normal, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, don't let that linger for too long, because you have to realize, like you said, like what your rabbi said, are you keeping her around for you or are you keeping around for her? And I think we all agree, and you know, and everybody out there knows that you did what you had to do.
You know what they ought to do is... focus on breeding a dog that lives to like 50. It's got to be possible, right?
Get some of those gigantic turtle genes, like how those turtles live to be like 400 years old. Okay, so my Labrador has a shell. The thing's going to live to be 200 years old.
That's the thing. You'll find there's some sea creature that's lived, that literally will live until it's 800.
Like a jellyfish. But they're awful.
And an animal like a cat or a dog that brings so much joy to people only lives... for such a short amount of time. Maybe,
12 to 20 years.
Maybe it's by design.
Maybe you should get a jellyfish next time.
Yeah. To teach us. You know what I mean? To
appreciate what we have while we have it, and that the beautiful things don't last and things that are total garbage. Again, I'm all for jellyfishes going extinct. and to be 1,000.
I don't want to jump the gun here, but somebody that I know that maybe you know and that we know, they had a litter.
A litter.
I'm not
what?
Kidding. And they're
children.
They're labs.
Oh. Labs.
We'll talk off air, but this might be divine intervention here. I know you said maybe a puppy might be a lot of work for you. You might want a rescue dog that's a little bit older. But we'll talk. Because I've been seeing this on Facebook for like a few weeks now, and I never put two and two together. And as we're sitting here, it literally just popped up on my computer screen, and I went, that might be a sign right there.
Oh.
I think it's only right, after everything you've put him through, Mike, you should give Josh your dog.
Yeah, I want your dog.
Mike.
I want Moose.
You get to have Moose.
You want to maybe spend the week over
there? No, I want the entire full custody.
I think tomorrow we do the transfer of ownership, and that's it. I hope this is the evil side of me. I'm really hoping that someone back there right now, back in the catacombs, the offices, hope you're feeling real guilty about the whole no pets at work.
they let me bring her. I actually broke the rule many times.
I hope they're really chewing on that right now, going, we should have let her come.
Well, anything else you want to say? I mean, take a call or something? I don't know where to go from
I'm
here.
Fine.
How are you? I mean, really, you say you're fine, and I think if anybody that knows you, we spend more time. The only person that did spend more time around you, the only, life would have been Pumpernickel, but we can tell when you're putting on a brave face. The fact that you're here today is unbelievable.
I will say, having worked with him for a long time, I do feel a weird sense, not a weird sense, but I feel that there is a calmness to you that you're not putting on.
It's incredible.
You're not putting on, you're not putting on a brave face. You are, but I also feel like you said last week you were off all week. You spent the time and it will continue. It's not over yet, but I feel like you're processing.
Yeah. I thought about it for a while but when it happens, it's still such a shock.
Mm-hmm.
I came to work because I thought, what's the use of just staying in an empty house?
Because you took off last week just because it could have happened at any moment.
Right.
So when you saw her make it through that week and the weekend, you said, let's show up for work this week. When I got the text last night from you, and thank you, that was extremely gracious of you just to let us all know, because we were wondering last week how things were. I didn't want to bother you too much, but I still wanted to check in. Trust me, I had a Google alert set up for any social media of yours to pop off, because you're pretty active.
I reached out first.
He reached out. I reached out right after. All right.
It's always a competition.
This is going to come up at Christmas. But when you had the kindness to let us know that it had happened, I was
a mess last night. Ask Chiquita.
Sorry.
No, it's fine, but I immediately I lost it.
Oh, I went downstairs.
You want to see a photo?
Oh, you took a picture of yourself.
And I sent it
to these guys. Oh, I was I'm a mess.
Oh, my God.
Let's go ahead and
you don't have to show me.
Yeah, I'm going
to
show you anyways. Here's the photo. This is last night. That's
weeping.
Oh, my God.
And here's mine.
You look like you were bitten by a bee or something.
Oh, God, it was
swollen.
Tough. We love you, buddy, and how much you meant.
Look at my picture.
Oh, wow.
You know, we just look out for your well-being. We want to make sure you're okay. Like you said, I know, look, that house, you're not out of the woods yet. It's going to take a while, and if you're in that house and, you're bummed out or you're lonely or something.
We're coming to stay with you.
Yeah, call us, dude. I don't care. I'll come over, hang out. We'll go get lunch, go to a movie, or just go for a walk, do something. But just don't sit there and...
Look at me.
Stew in it. You got to...
Would you like to walk me?
Yes.
I will let
you.
I swear to God, I'll get on all fours, and you can walk me wherever you want to.
I will. I would like to do that.
You still not a big fan of the hug? I gave you one yesterday that was...
Yeah, I don't mind hugs. I should probably hug more because my lack of human contact is not healthy. What is that? Oh, those are the labs you were talking about. That's very cute.
They're beautiful.
Very cute. Gorgeous? I'll take all of them. All 20 of them.
What did your sisters say when you talked to them?
You know, they've been very supportive. I talked to my sisters in the past week and a half or so.
Which sister do you call first?
Me.
It wasn't really a matter of first. I was pretty much talking to them equally. But I spoke to them more last week than I've probably talked to them in the last 3 years.
Look, and it's something, this is going to sound maybe a little ridiculous, but it's, who knows? It's something like this that could, you know, just bring you that much closer together. And it might be different, you know, moving forward from here.
Yeah, but everybody has been so supportive, and it means the world to me. Just, you know, you guys and management and just people from my past calling me and...
We just know what she meant to you.
Yeah, so it's just that makes it makes things a little better.
Oh, I want to do a group hug so bad. I'm the Irish Catholic in me. All we do is touch each other. I mean, it could be just like 10 Schlegels sitting on the couch watching football, and we're just all sitting in each other's laps. Yeah, if you'd have let me last night, I'd have driven straight up 95 to Massachusetts to find you and put my arms around you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I thought about ordering a pizza and sending it to your place, but...
Why is your answer for everything effing pizza? Would you grow up?
It actually sounds
pretty good.
It's a good
comfort food.
It's a great comfort food.
He probably wasn't in the mood to eat. Yeah, you can always eat, though.
Probably wouldn't have eaten.
You would have eaten some of it. Not as much as you would have on prior days.
Probably a couple slices. Yeah.
Maybe the crust.
Yeah, just the crust.
You know, well, just know, moving forward, look, we're here for you.
Oh,
and I know
you.
That sounds cliche and stupid, but I really want you to know that.
You're one of my only friends.
Because I don't want, that's not empty when it comes for me or Justin or Mike. Like, don't ever hesitate, because we'll do whatever. I'll bend over backwards for you. You've my whole career is riding your coattails.
You feed my kids.
That's ridiculous. Of course.
Feed my children.
Thank you very much.
Oh, man. Let's,
and the listeners, I mean, I can't even keep up with the text at this point. 410-338-1098. Thank you. And it's just, I don't know. I'm just babbling at this point because I'm not good at this.
Yeah. I'm coming around.
Go.
Yeah, let's do it. No, everyone.
You don't have to do that.
Yeah, I'm teetering as it is. I don't know if I can handle a hug right now.
Oh, it's okay.
It's time to feel.
The only reason I'm resisting is because I don't want to force it on them. You want a hug?
I'm fine for now. You know, your words are you know,
I'm coming around.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So Tay-Tay, Taylor Swift, she's taken some dude to court, some radio DJ, and it's weird. You hear these stories about radio DJs, and you kind of want to stand up for your brother in arms. But then the stuff that they do, more often than not, is indefensible. Like, there was the one radio DJ, love or hate the current administration, he was, like, threatening the presidency with hopes for violent assassination. Then you got this guy who's, like, feeling up someone's ass.
You know, we're the good ones.
We really are.
We're the exception to the rule.
Listen, just like we're looking at this guy and going, what a douchebag. You know how many people out there look at us and go, look at that bunch of douches.
Quite often. Some people I'm related to.
It's just, it's as much as we just like to be ourselves, you know that there's people out there from like other markets or other radio people that just look at us and go, you know, you got Justin in the photo doing something goofy. I'm standing there looking like whatever I'm looking like. They're picking us apart. We've never grabbed Taylor Swift's ass. We haven't gotten that bad. But.
No. I once asked Slash if he wipes from back to front or front to back. So that was sort of my Taylor Swift moment. Oh. Damn it.
See?
We're just like this guy.
We might be.
Except our clothes are better. Yeah.
I don't know.
We suck.
I like to think we are, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. Those in glass houses. Well, hear about it now. We had a discussion about Taylor Swift's trial against one of our DJ brethren trying to grab a piece of that butt. I'm behind the curtain.
Very interesting case. You hear about this? Taylor Swift?
Yes, I'm so excited for this trial. I'm so excited.
Okay.
Taylor Swift accused the Denver radio morning show host of groping her while they were getting their picture taken at a meet and greet in 2013. I worked at that radio station.
Oh, did you really?
That's the one. Yeah, KYGO. I don't know this guy.
They put the KY in KYGO.
Yeah, I left in 2003, so this is 10 years later. I don't know this guy. I don't want to know this guy.
Well, hold on. He's not innocent until proven guilty.
I
relax.
Suppose.
Keep your hands off of Tay-Tay.
So anyway, she did this
meet and greet
2013.
We've got a million of them, right.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Taylor claims David Mueller lifted her skirt and grabbed her buttocks while taking the picture. He denies the allegation, but he was fired anyway from his morning show. He sued Taylor Swift for $3 million for the false accusation. That's what he calls it. After he sued Taylor Swift, she countersued. That's right. So Taylor's suing him for assault and battery, and that's the case now going to court this week with jury selection beginning today in Denver. The picture from the meet and greet shows Taylor standing between the DJ and the DJ's girlfriend, which you can see on the 98 Rock app.
Ugh, God, he has got such an I'm a DJ shirt on in this photo.
The DJ's hand is definitely hovering behind Taylor's behind, but it's unclear from the picture if he lifted her skirt and grabbed her buttocks. This after the alleged assault, Taylor's staff called his boss at the radio station and asked that they take appropriate action, and they fired him. Taylor says she wants to be an example to other women who may resist publicly reliving similar outrageous and humiliating acts. If she wins the lawsuit, she says she'll give the money to charity. Now, you can argue Taylor Swift has an edge going into the trial because she's Taylor Swift, but the DJ did not do things that will help him in the trial. He did things that might make the jury shake their heads, like claiming that he spilled coffee on a laptop that contained audio of a phone call he recorded with his bosses the day after he found out about Taylor Swift's accusation.
Oh, no.
Not only that, he says he lost the laptop. He kept a copy of the audio file on an external hard drive, but he says the device stopped working. He also threw out his cell phone, which may have been used to record the call.
Wow, wow, this guy's toast.
This guy's snake bit.
This guy is toast.
Yeah. First, all those four accidental things happen to him. He's got his hand on Taylor's ass in this photo. And again, here's Josh innovating without even knowing that he is and other people not recognizing him. If you've ever been to an event or had the honor of joining us here in studio, Josh will put his arm around you, but never actually physically come into contact with you.
Hover.
He does the hover. This guy could have hovered and not groped up on Tay, but instead, you're in the breadline.
What do you think of that picture?
He's touching her ass.
I got it right here. It keeps like all the websites.
Damn it.
I mean, he's up on that butt.
Guy looks like a douchebag.
Tell me that's not the DJ shirt.
What a complete douchebag.
He's wearing Affliction
like
3 years after everyone else did.
David Mueller or Mueller. I don't know.
Colorado radio personality. I mean, we've done a million meet and greets. Why would you ever in a million years try to grab Taylor Swift's ass?
Feel us up. We won't touch you. Remember when you
tried to write me off? Like, that's the one person you don't want to do it to.
Oh, no, no, no. No. Don't do it to anybody.
But not to anybody,
by
but
the top of the
not her.
Yeah, and she has a tendency to get real fired up about exes and write entire albums dedicated to them. You think this isn't going to put a bee up her bonnet because your hand went up hers? Yeah. Oh, God. He wears these stupid country western shirts, too. How many bolo ties do you own? I got to fight him. Look at this shirt. Look at his shirt. Let me swing that around. How many times have you just seen this dude?
Yeah.
All right. We get it. You drive a purple PT Cruiser with gold rims.
God, I'm looking through the pictures and
guys, I said make a little noise.
But I see like a bit of myself in him. I gotta revamp my whole thing.
We gotta refurbish Scott.
Oh God damn!
I'll tear that shirt off.
I don't
back
have shirts that bad, but look at the shirt I'm wearing right now. I'm not far off.
That's a fine shirt. No, that's classic Scott.
Oh no!
That's you being on brand.
Oh God! Cut the 10 years of me grabbing someone's ass. Oh no!
Oh well, who's this? What's your name?
Welcome to the studio.
Hey, hey! Whoa! I spilled coffee on the laptop.
Grab! I'm gonna be like it's some.
Yeah.
horrible knockoff station grabbing like Carney Wilson's ass or something.
Oh, God, you're going to be feeling up Debbie Gibson. Hey, it's WEAG, the Eagle, coming at you all night long.
Scottster of the morning.
Hey, Scottster, yeah, Justin.
We had a meet and greet last night at the old Civic Center.
Yeah. And hey, look, Vitamin C stopped by.
I may have grabbed Carney Wilson's ass.
Grabbed it real good. Hey, is that Kurt Loder? Yeah, I'm going to grab that bed. God, I miss working with Josh.
Of all the pop star asses to grab,
yeah, not much
Swift's
there.
Got to be the boniest, right?
Like, if you try this move, like, who's
it
got a big ass? Like, what's
right.
her face?
And she wasn't, it was bare, too.
No underwear?
No.
Ooh. Whoa, Tay-Tay, what's up? Whoa, look at that skirt with no underwear on? Woo!
Josh, hit me a little bit more of that Tay-Tay, if you wouldn't mind. I knew you
were trouble. This is the goat version.
Hell yeah.
The screaming goat version.
Like famous, like big asses. Like if you try this with like a Nicki Minaj,
you're catching an elbow to the face.
I mean, that's a decent ass, but yeah, you get your ass beat.
Oh, you touch a Kardashian, you have a 7'5" Nathan Jones esque bodyguard jumping rope with your spine before your hand is even off the ass.
Yeah, Taylor Swift, not known for her ass.
Your hand will probably get lost. Oh, you'll literally be caught red-handed.
Oh, brown-handed.
Lost in her ass.
Mike, look at that. Look at that. The top left.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Man. Dude. What's up, Nicki? What's up, Nicki Minaj? Damn,
oh my gosh. I am so picky. I won't eat onions, but I will eat like
oh, God.
I'm a picky eater.
Dude. Why would this guy grab Taylor Swift's ass? I don't get it.
Knock it off. It's just,
she's not going to be in court, is she, right?
She will.
She's going to be there?
She's going to testify.
And how long do they think it's going to last?
2 weeks.
2 weeks? It's not televised, is it?
Not that I know.
I would watch that. I would watch that.
The court
TV
Tay-Tay
or something? Hell
stand.
Yeah, dude. She testifying?
Yeah, she's going to testify.
Oh, this is going to be so juicy the next couple weeks. You're going to have all the...
Oh, we're going to be all over
okay,
it.
Okay, good. Please.
All over
like
it.
Like a hand on all over an ass.
Is this the man here that touched your ass, Taylor?
Yeah.
Is the man who touched your ass in the courtroom? Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Can you point to him?
Yeah.
And then it says... Have the notes read that Taylor Swift has pointed at David Mueller.
Yeah.
I love when they do that.
Have the notes read that
whatever they say. I don't know the proper verbiage for
you. Yeah.
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 Oh, there's a photo. Look at this. And one of the websites does a headshot of him and then a shot of her, like with her.
Oh, yeah. And it's just pointing her butt. Like, that doesn't help the case. It's like so sleazy. This is grease ball that was feeling up on Tay Tay. And then I got to stop saying Tay Tay.
It changed.
And then I got it right here. And then there's one of her.
Oh, well.
With that cutlet.
Well, hello there.
That little veal parmesan of hers. Mm-hmm.
How's she going to prove anything? That's what I wanted.
I mean, maybe the photo of him grabbing her ass is exhibit A and B.
Did we get Darren on the phone?
It sounds like this guy's already sealed his own fate with this. I spilled coffee in my laptop. Yeah. I lost the laptop. My external hard drive stopped working.
And that haircut. Away.
That haircut also helped seal the deal.
The abusive wood shop teacher haircut.
A texter brought up a very good point. It says Taylor Swift doesn't have an ass. Maybe the dude just thought he was touching her back. Because it's so flat.
Wow. It's like, why is there a hole in your spine? Your spine sure stinks.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Who the hell spits in someone else's face when they get mad? I'll tell you who. A lot lizard, a fired up 8-year-old, or a member of the NWO, or... the woman that I saw earlier this week on a Wednesday, you'll hear the story coming up. I just walked into the ass end of a conversation where a woman was getting carryout food. The woman who was handing it to her had somehow pissed her off because she took the food, she yelled something out, and then spit in her face. Well, stormed out. No repercussions.
I'm bummed out that, you know, since we had all this time, you didn't go find out what happened. You had plenty of time between the time we did the break until now to visit this establishment and try to figure out. It would have been nice at this point for you to kind of reveal.
Well, follow up to that break many days ago, because this is a live program, that I know someone that works there, and I texted them hey, did you hear anything about one of your coworkers getting spit on? And he's like, I hadn't. I'll ask around. So who knows? Maybe next week I'll have a follow-up.
Behind the curtain.
Gotcha.
We'll play this.
Yes. We'll play this back and then do a double behind the curtain as we revisit a break that's been revisited on an initial occurrence. So, yeah, I just got to know. If the memory serves me correctly, the phrase was, I don't even want this, or I don't even need this anyways, and takes the food from her and leaves with it. So
you want to speculate?
She didn't want the food. She took the food and storms out. They also, and I hate to say, you know, birds of a feather flock together, but they tend to. You and I are both, you know, sickly middle-aged white guys, so we're friends. These two could not have been on farther sides of the age or fashion spectrum. They didn't look like they ran in the same circle. I go in this place a lot. I've never seen her there
before. They don't know each other, as you're saying.
Nothing about them, the way that she looked, this hayseed spoke and spit, said these two are running buddies that had a falling out.
It's only going to be one of two or three things. It either has to do with the amount of time that it took to produce this mm-hmm. food, her coming down there and them not having something that she ordered and them not letting her know, or something to do with the cost of it. That's it. Those are your only options.
Maybe they forgot to put mayonnaise on it, or they did put mayonnaise on it and she didn't want mayonnaise.
I'm so selfish that I would have been concerned about the spit getting on my food.
Thank goodness you looking out for me and you looking out for you by looking out for me for you was that my food was in the back. So my food now had her spittle arced across my club sandwich. I'm going next door to Subway and grabbing a $5 footlong. Yeah. That spit comes anywhere near my
face. It's next to a Subway.
It's right next to a Subway. Triangulate the location.
I tell you what infuriates me more than anything else, like a fast food place or restaurant, mainly fast food, I guess. When you get home, you open that bag up and they forgot your sauce. And
nothing pisses me off more. I've wanted to drive my car through the front door of a McDonald's before because I asked for barbecue sauce when I've gotten multiple orders of nuggets, multiple orders of fries, and I'll say, can I get some barbecue sauce for the fries? And there's one effing cup in the bottom of that thing. It's like I want to slam my car into reverse and take it through the window.
Yes, it is infuriating because you can't enjoy any of it.
You know, there's some places that charge for extra sauces.
Oh, yeah, and if you're in one of those areas, get the hell out of Dodge. You're in a bad part of town. You're also at a place that probably has a bulletproof drive-through window.
They're doing that because in a lot of these places, the sauces are the meals.
Yeah, and there's a hobo hemorrhaging blood in a bathroom nearby. Hear about it now behind the curtain. Some lady got so mad at another lady that she got spit on. And then we took your calls afterwards on Behind the Curtain. You've done the story this morning about the gentleman that was so mad after a road rage incident that there was a possible hammer attack.
That's right. There was a hammer all over on the Eastern Shore.
Hammer time!
And that's a level of anger you rarely get to see someone exhibit. Unless, of course, you're driving next to Mike Anderson on the highway and he's just punching his dashboard repeatedly.
Stupid! Stupid! Stupid!
He has a murderer's rage.
You got a murderer's rage inside
amongst
you.
You're who amongst us? You are the person inside.
Everyone has Mike Anderson number one on
Mike
their
Anderson
list.
Mike Anderson is number one in the anger draft. But never have I seen someone so pissed as a woman I saw yesterday. This is something I've only seen in the following mediums: pro wrestling, Law and Order television shows, or a movie where the wife catches the husband cheating, goes to the side pieces work, and gets in her face. So I go into a restaurant yesterday where I get carry out from, and I go in and I catch the ass end of this conversation. I catch just the second half. Woman behind the bar is handing someone a white plastic bag of food, white styrofoam container. The other lady, fried ass perm, snatches it from her and goes, I'm not even in the mood for this.
Whoa.
And spits in her face. I'm not even in the mood for this. Spits.
Well, give the food back then.
Leaves with the food. Walks in the other direction out the back door to where there's a parking lot on each side of this place. I don't want to dime out where it is because I go out there all the time. And I've never seen piss to the level of someone like legitimately spit. I've seen a shove. I've seen a drink thrown. I've seen the double gun thrown in the air. Austin 316 just says, I don't want this food. But never have I seen someone, and not even like a real quick, a...
What'd the woman behind the counter do?
Just,
cleaned her face off, I assume.
She's froze in place.
Purell?
And just with her hands in front of her face.
Oh, God.
5 feet to her left was the door back to the employee area, back room, kitchen. And when I tell you, there was an everything bagel's worth of sour cream on this woman.
Oh.
The amount of... God, she looks like she had just been attacked by a poltergeist. The amount of glop. I have no idea the context. This woman who did the spitting didn't want the food. The woman who handed the food to the other lady had obviously wronged her in some way, so she thought, to the level that she spit on her.
Well, the customer's always right.
I'll still dip in sauces. I said blue cheese, not ranch.
Did you get any little peek into what might have been the issue?
Someone else brought my food out, and I lean in like, what was that about? And the guy, man, you got me.
God, me, nobody asked.
The guy.
Well, it happens all the time.
Oh, the guy that gave me my food was in full-on give a mode. He was like last 20 minutes of his shift. Ain't my
problem.
He just
was glad you weren't spitting in his face.
Right, as long as you're not slinging any yogurt at me, here's your egg rolls. The guy just didn't give a damn. Yes, it's a redneck Chinese place, Justin. What do you want? You want lo mein with or without me?
I love all the Chinese restaurants with non-Chinese people working there. It's always the best.
Welcome on down to Billy Bob's House of Szechuan. What you want? You want that orange chicken? Huh? Yeah, this lady, just the act of how pissed do you got to get to spit in someone's face. You can never go back. By the way, that's the last time. Like, I've heard of people getting pissed.
Sorry about the
last
time.
That's assault. She could get arrested for assault.
I was a little angry.
Does that count?
I'm not a lawyer, but I'm Jewish.
Does it count? I'd rather get punched in the face than spit in the face.
I'll take the spit.
I think I take the punch. You don't know what... On the fist, there is knuckle and maybe some dander. All that mouth cream, all that tongue margarine.
I would put my face on the grill if that happened to me.
Oh, that's actually going to make things worse.
Oh, burn away the sickness. Oh, sweet heat.
You also have to think about somebody who's willing to spit in somebody's face. They haven't really lived the best life. So who knows what they're capable of having coursing through their veins and body?
Oh, yeah. No, she stuffed a 100-pound torso into a 20-pound halter top. She was walking out of there, and though she walked in the opposite direction, the scent of an unfiltered Pall Mall hung heavy in the air. She made her way towards a primer-colored IROC Z.
It seems strange, though, because once you've gotten the food, whatever the issue was, at this point it's resolved. Like,
well, she was just boiling, though.
But even if it took forever to get the food, once you get it, then that should start your dissipating of your anger.
If her anger is over the food being late, wow, that is an overreaction of historic proportions.
And right? Called ahead.
While I don't side with what she did at all, also have to find fault in the lady that served the food. Because say you're standing across from someone in a cage and you see them wind back, you're going to say, here comes the right, I'm going to duck. And she wound back when she went, and it wasn't a quick one. It took a little bit before she, you know, produced that Slimer ectoplasm on her and just stood there.
Well, being the elder statesman in the room, I've never been spit on. Have you?
I mean, not outside of role-playing sexually.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, how could she have anticipated, even if somebody's doing that, I'm like, she's not going to spit on me.
It was a real wind-up. It was a wind. You know what? In that case, I'd rather duck and have her not do it than not duck. You know, rather prepare
two for
yourself.
Flinching.
Wow, phone lines popping off.
A lot of people have been spit off.
A lot of people have had somebody so pissed off at them that they've... This argument's over.
Mike couldn't get to them all. They were just lit up like a slot machine.
Yeah, smoke starts pouring out of the back of the computer when I regale you with the tale of a woman I saw yesterday in a to-go food place just yell at some other woman on the other side of the counter, I don't even want this! Blast her in the face. It was disgusting. I didn't even want to eat afterwards. That food went and got itself real cold real quick.
But you did eat, let's be honest.
Oh, absolutely. Look at my body. And
so common. You almost wonder if, like, somewhere in our DNA, we are inclined when aggravated to spit. Because, I mean, there's so many other animals that do it.
What? That's in our DNA?
Yeah, you got donkeys, camels, people.
Mike, geez.
What other animal spits? I mean, I know the camel does.
Well, it's just such a weird... Mike's
part
it
llama.
It seems almost to be like a reflex for some people.
That's how Nedry died in the first Jurassic Park film, when the little thing like...
Velociraptor.
Yeah, right in his face.
Not Tourette's for spitting. I can't help it.
A lot of wrestlers spit on each other when they get mad.
But I think they fake the spit, or maybe it's just like a little bit of maple syrup, so it's actually pleasant for the other wrestler.
Yeah, sure.
410-338-1098. Read some text tweets here real quick. Ariel, our beautiful inner city teacher,
love
says,
her.
Oh, God, she has a vision delicious. On two legs. She said, no, I've never witnessed the start of a homicide, Justin, because a lot of people are saying, if you spit in my face, that's going to be one of your last actions.
It's on.
Yeah. My ex, Christina, writes, my ex was arrested for spitting in my face. Josh is right. It's an assault charge. Officer caught him as he rode past us arguing. Just hit me instead. I'm with you. I'd rather have you punch me in the face than spit on me.
And then if the person spitting on you has an STD, well, HIV, let's say. Okay, that could be attempted murder if the spit gets into your eye socket.
If it's got just enough of that stuff in there to land directly in your tear duct, sizzles your brain, you're dead within 24 hours.
That's assault with a deadly weapon.
That's science right there. That's assault with a deadly weapon. Spitting at someone, especially in their face, says Asian Megan, is probably the most disrespectful thing anyone can do. For the record, if you see me at an event, you can spit on me whenever you feel like. You just let it loose. Give me a real good one right across the forehead. God, look at her. Hey, let's find this audio here. This was, Mike, what is this? This is a, what porn star do we have up here forever ago?
Oh, Alexis, I just had it. Monroe. Alexis Monroe.
Yeah, Alexis Monroe came up.
Prior morning show.
You know what? This, was this on the prior one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, this is Alexis Monroe came in. Thank you to Brian Myers.
Have we edited out the prior host's voices?
If you hear a lot of beeps or the occasional sound of a rattlesnake, you know it has been properly edited. Let's, what the hell is that weird-ass noise? Let's turn this down here, and here we go.
With just half.
Done. Just take a chunk out. She's shaving my beard.
You should lick his face to moisturize it.
Yes.
You want to lick his face?
Can I spit on it?
Yes.
Yeah, spit on his face.
Oh! Oh! Freeze it right there. Look at that. Tell me I did not just leave the set of a Lex Steel film. Ugh.
Would you like to know the maximum prison term for spitting in someone's face?
Yes, please.
It's simple assault, up to 6 months in prison.
Oh.
Wow. What are you in here?
Or fine.
Yeah. I spat in someone's face. You're going to be real popular on the yard if that's the only reason you're in there. Let's go to the phones, 410-338-1098. Let's talk to Pat in Dundalk.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
How you doing, bud?
This is going to be good.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, man. One time I was in Annapolis and someone attempted, the girl spit on me.
Rough part of town.
Having words with her boyfriend. And a friend of mine that was with us, she clocked the girl and knocked her out right there in Annapolis.
Oh.
Right in the middle, right there on, what's that, West Street, right there in the middle. Mm-hmm. I mean, just put her lights completely out before I could even react. And the girl didn't, she just walked up and spit on me.
Oh, God. What do you do in that moment? Because the bartender I saw this happen to, she just froze up, full on traumatized, and just wanders to the back in shock.
Well, I would have caught a charge. I'm going to tell you that now. I'm glad that my friend was with me. It was a whole bunch of us. But the girl that was with us, she learned how to box at an early age. And she just, I mean, as soon as she seen a girl spit on me, she just cleaned her clock.
Fantastic. Lots
to
unpack
learned how
there.
To box at an early age.
Learned to box at
like
an early
four.
Age.
I taught my four-year-old girl to box just in case her friend got spit on.
Pat from Dundalk has said the phrase, I almost caught a charge probably a few times this year over
today.
Small infractions. Yes, can't get a Wi-Fi signal. Snapchat won't load up. He's about to catch a charge. Let's go to, who do we have here? Oh, this is someone that's probably been lobbed at quite a bit. Mike in Aberdeen, what do you do? What did you used to do as a profession?
I was a bouncer in a adult entertainment facility, we'll call it, in Baltimore for 3 years. So,
facility.
We'll just call it a whorehouse. Yes.
But anyway, yeah, we were taking a guy out, and he said bitch, but when he did it, he spit. You know what I mean?
Ugh.
And, yeah, that's pretty much when I proceeded to grab him by his throat and I was trying to kill him.
Okay.
Because I've had guns pulled on me, knives, and nothing makes me flip that switch than like getting spit on. Because
that guy didn't even spit on you. He was just yelling.
Yeah. God. He was just like a Bobby Knight type verbiage where there's a lot of spit coming out with the words. And, you know, he actually probably got the better end of that deal. I can only imagine one of the workers there had he come across her ire and she spit at him. 50-50% chance that it's a 50% chance it was probably saliva. So I think it worked in your favor that it was just a patron of the bar and not one of the workers there on Whore Island. Let's go
at the facility.
At the processing plant. Well, that's what we rendered prostitutes. What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's up?
I see what you do for a living, man, and it's a shame, but it makes sense that this happens to you in your profession. What do you do?
All right, so I'm a cop. I'm just going to leave where I work out of it. But it's not in the city. It would surround the city.
So this
pretty much. Oh, yeah. I would say the worst part of it is when you get spit on and you can't do a damn thing about it.
Well, I see on cops when they put that net over people's face who are
spitting. Yeah. Have you ever used the spit net?
Yeah.
No, we don't carry fish nets with us normally.
Oh, God. Is that the name of it?
No, I have no idea. We don't use those. At least to my knowledge. I've never seen them.
Roll the dice.
Yeah. They only got to cost like 50 cents. Jeez.
Yeah, yeah. Is it usually, to be honest, is it some drunk chick at a bar? She doesn't know where she's at. It's a Tequila Tuesdays and she's going nuts.
No. This was a guy that I had to pick up from another prison. It was already all smelled pretty much like piss from the start. And then, put him in the back of my car. He kicks out the window. And then while I'm waiting for the wagon to come to take him so he can't kick out any more windows in my car, he decides to start spitting through the cage all over all my stuff. Now, I'm not in the car, but, like, my lunchbox, my bag, my hat, my phone.
Oh, God. Stop.
I really wanted to stay in that other jail.
That guy really liked jail. He was the old guy from the Shawshank Redemption who knew he was not going to be able to incorporate
himself. All my friends are in this other jail.
All my buddies are
inside. Make new friends.
It's Taco Tuesday. Ugh, God, that's awful, bud. Stay safe out there. Let's talk to, this is a nightmare on stilts. Michael, good morning.
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 All these guys sound exactly the same.
Yeah, a lot of there's a very similar timbre to your voice of people that have been in situations where they've been spit on.
So I was in high school, and there was this kid who always messed with me. He ends up coming over to me where I'm sitting down to eat, coughs in my food. Oh. So then I cough in his food. Oh. He then spits in my food, so I immediately spit in his face.
Oh my God! You
what's the next progression?
Yeah, dude, you fart each other's milk. Mike, share the story. Thank you very much for that disgusting tale
I'll
you
never
just shared with us.
Forget the day I was in school and I'm sitting at a table with some other classmates, and one of them leans over towards the other. I'm like, what the hell is this kid doing?
This is so gross.
He then proceeds to sneeze. Right into the, I mean, inches away from this kid's face, right into, I mean, it blinded him. He couldn't open his eyes for like a minute.
Oh, it blinded.
Like, mate. Yeah, what does it come out at, like 100 miles per hour?
Yeah. And you know what a sneeze is. You just, you're covered in something your body obviously wants out of it.
That's way worse than spitting.
Oh, my
But it's
God.
Funnier. It's the classier yeah. way to do it.
Oh, that's
I'm true. Above spitting, but I'll sneeze on
Did
someone.
He make the achoo sound? Some people.
Did you say God bless you?
Everybody in the class just stopped and it was so gross and just shocking.
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So to get behind the curtain, which is what this program is, it's not just a recap of what we've done and some stuff we didn't get to. Sometimes shows don't go the way we'd planned. Oh my God, a topic took off. We blow something out and we open up the phones and talk about it for an hour or two. And sometimes things don't work out because it falls apart in our hands. And
it's live radio.
It really is. This isn't a taped program. Much like today, we're here on a Saturday. The entire building is empty. Go to LiveWire right now. You'll see us. And if you don't, it's your computer, not us. And we have the comics in on Friday, and we had two great ones lined up. We had Lunel. You recognize her as Borat's big, voluptuous black girlfriend in Borat that he brought to the fancy dinner, and Big Jay Oakerson, who is a mainstay on a lot of the New York radio. He was on ONA. He's done a bunch of Comedy Central. You'll hear coming up, I talked to him about the Bad Boys of Comedy. Lunel is not able to make it, so we have to fill that hour.
And then Big J, God bless him, he actually got a role in a movie, so he has to leave early to get back up to New York to film this movie of his. And I can't be mad at him for that.
You can't just fault him.
You can't. The guy is just shooting for the stars and grabbing a hold of one. So God bless. I tried myself and failed. So we went from having 2 hours of great comics booked to one 20-minute segment of a great comic. And Mike, what's your, to get behind the curtain with the shape and the creation of the show, what do you do in those moments to try and keep the show on track and to keep us from just spinning our wheels on air?
Well, my first thought was when I got the call from the Comedy Factory driver who drives the comedians here, he called me and said,
I'm lost again. Y'all mind if I stare at you while we're doing a break?
He gave me some cockamamie excuse as to why they couldn't make it. So I'm like, all right. But my first thought was, well, this will make Spiegel happy because you typically are not a fan of other people in the studio.
I don't like any guests.
Me neither.
So that was my first thought. I'm like, well, this will make Josh's morning. But and we had some other things lined up. So I'm like, all right, well, let's just move up the ideas we kind of had on the bench and plug those in. Which we did, and things went well. But, I mean, that's all you can do is go to your secondary options.
Or if it ever gets to be right around the 45-minute mark of a break and you don't hear us trying to get Keith's old ass out of the studio, maybe we're stretching a little bit to go ahead and fill some time before song, get to the top of the hour, and get back into everyone's favorite segment of the show, which would be news. So God bless you,
thank you
for providing us with tales of nuclear assault and ribaldry, stretching out a show when other people come up short. You know, and no show.
What we ought to do one day, and this, you know, I'm not putting this on your plate. Well,
simulcast BAL.
Try to do the longest newscast
ever.
Ever.
That I'm sure we could easily do that.
Could we do? Could we? How would you pull that off? Because obviously we have commercials that we have to be beholden to because of client services. But do you think we do like something from the top of the hour all the way down to the 30, and then from 30 back to 60? Or back to the zero point, we just have a big half hour of commercials and blow our ratings out of the water?
Well, I think we just keep the commercial breaks intact, but we just... We
when we return,
Keith,
more news.
Yeah, that's
Keith
right.
takes the day off.
Keith's gone.
Oh, you know, maybe we should discuss this with Rick, the boss.
What if we did a once-a-year Josh Spiegel Super News segment where the next day you're off, you can relax after what you went through before, sports is out, and you do two newses a show.
Oh.
Huh? The annual Josh Spiegel Super News Spectacular, where you do news at the top of the hour and again at the bottom of the hour. That would be incredible.
You mean every hour?
Every hour, two newses. It's the most news-heavy show we've ever had, ever.
I suppose I could do that.
And then the next day... You're off.
Yeah, I'm off.
It's a Super News Thursday.
Costa Rica.
And then you rock out a three-day weekend, and we have one of these yahoos come in and fill in and trip all over themselves trying to do your job.
Yeah, we could run that by Rick, the boss.
Book it! Coming up at some point, it's the Super News Spectacular with Josh Spiegel. But now, it's Big J Oakerson. He had to show up briefly, but he was funny. He was a great dude. So hear about it now behind the curtain. My man. Hell yes. We get a list, usually about a month in advance.
Yes.
Finding out who's going to be, what club, who's coming around. I'm like, oh, cool, it's Debo from down the block, the Giggle Princess. Here comes a dude that was maybe like a walk-on role on like the Knight Rider 2000 spinoff. And then I see Big J Oakerson coming to town, Magoobies. Pants go off.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
I like that reaction. It's a rarity.
Let me take you back. Here, let me hop on our Wayback Machine real quick, like Jay, if you don't mind. The year was 2005. And someone somewhere at HBO said, you know what? When I think funny, I think Puff Daddy. I think Sean Combs. I think a guy that sounds like he's rapping with a mouthful of raspberry jelly. That guy knows good comedy. P. Diddy's Bad Boys of Comedy comes
out. Yes, indeed.
And you watch it, and it was just a whole lot of, hey, give it up for me. Y'all could do better. Y'all could do better than that. Before we get started, I'd just like to give glory to God himself.
Now give it up for the ladies.
Ladies, who here thinks we need to start treating these big bitches a little better? I know you heard me.
And it's like, ah, boy, this is starting to get a little repetitive.
And I'll take a big woman.
I love a big woman. I love a girl that when she gets up, the toilet seat's hot. Oh, I love a hot toilet seat.
But then you roll up out of nowhere in the middle of this, and you laid a set down that it was you and Tony Woods who had the sets of the series.
Tony's great.
Dude, Tony's amazing. Tony's a local guy. Tony, we love Tony. Tony's been up here a bunch. But and I know that's been 12 years ago, and you've done so much stuff since. You had the great special on Sisu. The thing that you do with Soda, your podcast, is fantastic, the XM show. But I just remember seeing that you had the big Sean John shirt on, all that stuff. And ever since then, I think of you as like one of those comics almost cut from a similar musical cloth as like a brewer, to where you just get down with the rock and roll, you get down with metal and stuff like that. But like, was that your style at the time, or did someone like put this on?
They absolutely. Well, here's when I was younger than that, even I dressed much more in the vein of hip hop.
Yeah.
For multiple reasons. The main reason, though, being at that point in the big guy clothing stores, your choice was, if you wanted name brand, you were going hip hop, or you had to dress like a dad. Yeah. And I was, you know, a teenager. I didn't want to dress like a dad, so
short
I had
sleeve plaid or this Echo.
But when I went that day to film Bad Boys of Comedy, I was wearing a button down shirt, the jeans that I see on there, and boots. And I remember going out there, sort of whatever my style was at the time, sure, which certainly wasn't, not what I'd describe as hip hop. But that whole thing was that whole show was a ploy to sell Sean John clothes. That's all it was.
Oh, because, that was his brand. That's
so,
right.
Everybody is dressed in Sean John. You may not realize that, because it's not all like, big labels.
Well, they slapped a big label on your ass.
Well, when I did, I purposefully, when I heard that was the case, I gave them the wrong size, figuring if I get there and they don't have my size, I'll be able to wear what I'm wearing. It's generic, and there's no logos. I'm not going there wearing a different logo. And there was this, in this very black production, there was this one white girl who was so serious about her job of getting everybody in those Sean John clothes. Yeah. That this girl was digging in boxes that she had to blow dust off like they were like it was an old book of spells. and finally, in the bottom of one of them, she found in my size a short sleeve zip up
nice
sweater.
Yeah. Did you ever wear it again?
What? No,
she gave it right back.
No, they told me to keep. They had me keep. I mean, I just threw it out like on a clothes purge at one point.
It was so funny because I
even
saw
my ex wife
was
like, "Should we keep it for them?" I'm like, "Yeah, send it to the Hall of Fame."
Yeah. We'll get the thing in one of those light boxes. We'll frame the thing and put it above the mantle.
Yeah, like my Elvis shirt.
Because I had seen you actually in person a few weeks prior. I had come to New York to watch someone else, a friend of mine, do stand up at the time. And you had stopped in to do a set, and I'm not sure if you still do the bit. It was so funny about every time you went to England, it was nothing but dragons, fog, and just a horrible. And I saw you up there, and I mean, you just metal, jeans, you don't give a damn. It's just, this is what the comedy is. I'm not going to go ahead and package this thing up in this shiny thing. And then I come to read the lineup of P. Diddy's Bad Boys of Comedy, because we knew Tony Woods is doing it.
Yeah.
And then I see, okay, Big Jay Oakerson, and I watch. I'm like, that is not what that dude looked like 3 weeks ago. Yeah, he's got a totally different style now. And something about that was like some son of a bitch sat him down backstage, like, you're putting this FUBU on, putting these Tims on. We're going to cut your hair, and you're wearing the Sean John.
Yeah, I had a nice weird moment that I thought they would have broadcast, but they didn't do it. The only interaction I had with P. Diddy was he came up behind me before I was getting ready to go on.
Nice shirt.
I started rubbing my shoulders, and he's like, "You got this, big boy. You got this right here." And then, they were filming that.
Yeah.
And then so I turned around and hugged him, like, hard, and I said, "Now we can share everything." Which didn't even really make sense to him.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, okay, playboy. Okay. All right, playboy." All right. Then they called me out on stage to Dougie Fresh beatboxing. The whole thing felt messed up and wrong.
It was funny because I was just—I remember the sets. Like you were doing some, like you can't listen to Skinner anymore after like a prison rape joke, and then Tony Woods is doing something about like farting blood in a pool. It was two just such distinct breakout sets at the time. And then, obviously, you've since gone on to so much more and such great stuff. And
it is funny, though. Your impression is great of just in the middle of anything that's happening on that show. It's just like, oh, I'll be breaking off girls like this. Blah-ow, blah-ow, blah-ow.
Oh. People flipping over tables.
And there was one guy who used to go around, like, always brag about, he's like, yo, I got a standing ovation at P. Diddy's Bad Boys of Comedy. And at the end of his set, without giving names, you can find this somewhere. At the end of his set, he goes, you know, whatever his last punchline was, he's like, wrecked him, nearly killed him.
Oh!
And he goes, Brooklyn, stand up! And they respond like, by standing up. And he's like, yeah, you know, I got a standing ovation. He goes, you can't ask for a standing ovation and brag about getting a standing ovation.
We were joking about that before you came in because, you know, Joe still does stand up. I've done some, and you see, like, the comic every now and then that's like, come on, I can't hear you. You're 5 feet away. You could definitely
hear
me
the whole time.
Come on, I deserve more than that. Like, I don't know if you do. Yet
you could do better than that.
Maybe
now,
like tipping before you get your food at all. Like, I'm gonna give you 30% because I think this Reuben's gonna be great.
That is a good idea. At the end of a set, just keep saying whatever is necessary. You'll give it up for the troops who loves your mom. Just whatever you have to say
give
to get
it up
them
for
standing.
Handicapped kids get
Jesus like a mofo.
Gonna be McGoobies this weekend, dude. Where can people find you online if they want to check you out? I know you got a dip, you got some stuff you got to do, but I can't stress it enough. I've seen Big J before in person on TV. The podcast with Dan is incredible.
Oh,
the show is incredible.
Man.
So honestly, you're gonna have a great weekend over at McGoobies. You want to check him out? Where can people find you?
Well, BigJComedy.com is my website for everything. But this weekend, actually, I just found out I'm going back. I'm not gonna be doing shows tonight.
Yeah,
there's not going to be two shows tonight.
You got shows tomorrow.
We're
buddy of ours, Jason
tomorrow,
Weems, is there tonight. What's going on?
Oh,
can you
very
say?
Cool, very cool.
Can you say what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm filming. I just got a part in a movie.
Bad Boys of Comedy 2?
Bad Boys of Comedy Part 2, The Revenge.
Yeah, Mace presents. You just have to
Boogaloo.
Tell the jokes half as fast. Hey, y'all.
I got a scene in two scenes in a movie. My first ever like movie where it's like, you know, a theater release film.
Oh,
it's a rom-com. So
really?
Yeah. But don't worry, my part's filthy.
Ryan Gosling?
Yeah, your part is disgusting.
My part is indeed disgusting, but
can we say the star of the film? Are you allowed to say that?
Yeah, Rebel Wilson.
Oh, okay.
Rebel Wilson, Adam Devine, and Liam Hemsworth are in production of a movie. Yeah, so I'm doing a scene, but it was supposed to be a week from this weekend, and then I guess, like, you know, I'm the least important person on that set, so they're like, well, we have to change to tomorrow. And I tried to pull the, I'm doing a road gig right now. And they go, we could always just get somebody else to do it.
I'm on my way right now. I can find someone else
to
do
this. Yeah,
they
really were like, they're like, do you not want to do it? Like, all right, I'll go.
Where are they filming?
Okay,
I didn't catch that. Where are they filming?
So, back in New York. And,
that's not bad. I thought you had to go all the way to L.A. and then back.
No, Bethpage, Long Island. But it is funny because I drove here yesterday. Did a show last night and then found out that, so I'm going back this morning.
Damn.
Doing this filming all day, driving back here tonight, doing shows tomorrow, and then going back tomorrow night. So,
hey, it's a good problem to have to be as busy as that.
It is a good problem to have, yeah.
Tell Rebel we said hi.
Oh, yeah, I'll drop her a line.
Yeah, tell her if she's seen any of the clickbait ads with her. If you thought you knew what she looked like then, you should see what she looks like now. And it's always Rebel Wilson with, like, a handful of, like, a Cubano sandwich. And then the next photo next to her, obviously the actress's head is cut off, and it's definitely Calista Flockhart. that's not it.
Oh, man, they did that to that poor girl from This Is Us. They made clickbait for that. And
watch
her. Insane transformation. Then you see a commercial, you're like, nope.
That's not it at all.
That's got to hurt her feelings more than anybody.
Big J Ogres.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Well, Josh, you're in your 30s now. I just turned 42. Mike turned 17 in November. So we're all a little getting long in the tooth. And we come to realize that we don't have the adrenaline rush the way our younger folks do anymore. This is based off of an earlier bit. It piggybacked into this bit where we talked about people speeding through traffic. And one guy called up and said he did it speeding through traffic, cutting in and out, swerving, because it gave him an adrenaline rush. And then Scott had the idea, the thought, what in our lives, Justin, Scott, Spiegel, Mike, Sam, what gives any of us our adrenaline rush? And it was sad that I couldn't think of any. That gave me that genuine, and a good adrenaline rush, not a, oh my God, there's someone in the house. Oh my God, I'm getting pulled over. Oh my God, slip and fall, caught myself on the ledge the last moment. The purposeful adrenaline rush.
You know, I don't have anything either. And I think, I didn't think at the time to say this, is because I get natural anxiety adrenaline rushes.
Ooh.
I'm so frightened all the time of other people.
Constant state of panic.
That's right. So that's, I have a constant adrenaline rush.
If you see somebody you don't want to talk to.
Yeah, and everyone. And,
like somebody really don't want to talk to. And you're kind of funneled into talking to them somehow, like in a hallway or something. Where's your anxiety level or fear? Take us through that.
Well, it depends on the person. But if somebody I really am uncomfortable with, it could be an 8 on a scale of 1 to 10.
Wow.
The anxiety level. I mean, it really depends. It's so subjective. It's a terrible question, really.
Well, let's say somebody knocks on your door and you didn't order pizza.
Oh, you know, somebody knocked on my door Thursday night. Thank God I didn't answer because they were selling something. But I'm not really nervous about that. I just don't want to deal with somebody like that. Like, get a real job, for God's sake.
I listen to Mark Maron's podcast, WTF, and you know, he's obviously on a national, international stage, and he told a story last year of just a fan knocking on his door.
Yeah.
And him being freaked out by it, but then his ego wouldn't let him not appreciate that this guy came by.
Right.
So he's like, how'd you find me? How the hell? Why are you on my property? Who are you?
Yeah.
Do you want to come see the studio? And they gave the guy like a tour of his place.
Oh, wow.
He was so like taken aback that the guy would track down his personal information. But then he also showed him the garage where he records everything. But he said his adrenaline was going the entire time.
Well, he's a brave man. You do that at my house, you're a dead man or woman. And I'm not joking. You're dead.
So last week, the conversation was had about why the hell people are ripping around. Whoa!
Yay!
Hey!
Sana!
There's people that live in this neighborhood. Whoa! Whoa!
Oh my God, and there goes his load.
Whoa! Why are you ripping around?
Yeah, them guys. We talk about, you know, on the highway, those guys on the motorcycles that weave in and out.
Yeah.
And we opened up the phone lines, and we got a couple of guys that admitted to doing it. And they were like, look, man, the one dude just said, it's kind of like he gets an adrenaline rush.
Yeah, he owned it. He's like, yes, I do it. I know I'm poking death in the chest. I'm ripping around like I'm playing Need for Speed or I'm
and you're
Fast
putting
and the Furious.
Other people's lives in danger, son of a bitch. Bastards.
But then Scott proposed the question on Behind the Curtain, which I thought was a good one, but kind of a startling one. What do you do for an adrenaline rush these days yourselves? You in the room, you know, Mike, Justin, what do you do? And I got to thinking, I don't have an adrenaline rush anymore. There's nothing in my life that I do other than like a really good Cuban sandwich or the chance to nap an extra half an hour without a bunch of kids galloping around in my house like bison. There's nothing that I do. Maybe like a good ratings book. Maybe Rick got a haircut. There's just nothing. I've got nothing that instills.
But do we need it? There's multiple questions. Like, 410-338-1098. Text us or call us. And if it's staticky out there, we apologize. We're working on the signal.
The tower tipped over.
Yeah, tower tipped over.
Mike's lifting it back up.
Tower got shot. Somebody shot the tower.
Someone shot at the tower.
Murdered.
My God, what if that tower really got happened?
Or what if we looked out back and the thing's just tipped over?
How do you get your adrenaline fixed? But, I mean, like, do we need it? I mean, did you used to have it? Like, you said skateboarding, I guess, kind of was...
Skating.
I don't know if I've ever really even had it.
What about you on the football field? You're out there. You got everybody from Beth Page. You're out there beating ass. You're putting pads in someone.
I guess,
You stick them. You stand up. You hear the roar of the crowd. Yeah! That's got to feel good.
But, like, your trainer, Alex,
mm-hmm.
Like, I love the guy, but I hate the guy. You go to his Instagram page, and like, maybe, I think maybe that kind of like spurred this along too. Like, everything he does just seems like some sort of awesome outdoor, athletic, adrenaline type thing.
Biking, kayaking down a raging river.
Yes.
Look to Travis Pastrana, whose life is nothing but an adrenaline high. All he does is adrenaline-fueled activities, ripping through the woods on that razor at 90 miles per hour, doing double backflips with a nitro circus off of ramps, praying to God that his back doesn't explode when he lands, and when he sticks the landing, that rush. The last time I got an adrenaline rush was when we went to Pastrana's place, and I'm just flopping off the end of that ramp into that big bag when I dove off of the cherry picker.
Yeah.
Adrenaline rush. I mean, I stood up and
when
felt...
When you're in that little thing, that razor?
Yeah, yeah.
Driving through the woods and he took you over that jump?
Oh, I feel cold. Like, when you get a good adrenaline rush, you feel cold? Mike, when you were
it's
on stage...
It's got to be good for you, too, right?
Did you... I was going to say, what a great question. You got to feel like it's healthy for you. It's got to, like, reinvigorate the system.
Yeah.
It's got to get you going on. It gets the people moving. Huh? It's provocative. Mike, when you did your bodybuilding thing, did you get that adrenaline rush while you're on stage at the amateur jam? Oh, he's answering phone calls right now from people also getting an adrenaline rush.
I would imagine that had to be like his most recent kind of... Was that kind of feeling?
Oh, doing the competition?
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that, but yeah, you're right.
You're
half
nude with a chiseled Chinese boy.
Again, I'm not sure I fully enjoy it.
Because Mike associates adrenaline rush with, like, negative almost, like fear-based type thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's for.
Yeah,
you know,
they're kind of close in proximity.
Situation. I mean, I'm not sure if it's... I guess some people get off on that. Just like some people like opioids and some people don't. Maybe some people really love that adrenaline rush. And other people, you know, like myself, I'm just like, you know, that's just...
Right, like some
it's
people...
It's just too much.
Just enjoy, like... Cuddling up with a good book.
Yeah.
Where some people want to be like skydiving.
Because like I said, to get there requires fear, at least for me. So, it feels good, you know, but at the same time, you're also dealing with anxiety and stress, too. So,
but fear and invigoration hold hands. Like Wendy's doing that thing at iFly, and I feel completely safe, and the thing's 100% safe, but you're still in there like flying above that net wearing that wingsuit, and you're getting adrenaline for days. That guy they jack the jets up and they let you fly like 20 feet up into that thing. Man, your heart is it's pounding. 410-338-1098, 410-338-1098. We ask you, the listener. Mikey Papers, what's up, bud?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Mikey? I love you.
Doing pretty good, man.
I love you.
I just wanted to comment on that, on what you're talking about, man. There is no bigger adrenaline rush than walking up on that stage in front of 1,000 to 5,000 people and they sing their music, your music, back at you.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's crazy.
Someone told me Pasadena likes to rock. Shut up!
What's the most amount of people you've ever been on stage in front of, Mikey?
I'm going to have to say at the most, maybe 1,000.
Whoa.
There was a couple Pantera shows that were just crazy.
Way back when he was with Pantera. Day. I'm going to have you come by soon. I'm going to strap your ass in that VR headset of mine. It just occurred to me that might be the last time I got any type of adrenaline rush. Scott, I was tearing my pants off and helicoptering myself over the weekend in front of you about a new game called Super Hot. And it might be the most adrenaline rush that I've had in years. And it's sad to say that it's just me hooked up to a bunch of cables in a basement, dimly lit, mind you. And this game, it's a virtual reality game. You strap the helmet to your face, you hold the hands and all that, the wands, and it puts you in like super spy scenarios, or guys are coming at you and you're grabbing bottles off of a shelf, you're grabbing glass ashtrays. It's called Super Hot. It's a wild looking game. Like, the whole environment's white, all the enemies are red. It's like a virtual reality super agent training simulator. But man, when you're in that thing and there's like enemies rushing at you and you're grabbing a bottle and throwing it at their face and they drop their gun, you grab the gun out of the air, you're shooting other enemies with it. Ha! Get back, boy! Boom, boom, boom!
It's enough to get you going.
It gets me going, but then I'm thinking, how freaking sad is that? That's my adrenaline rush, is I got to be plugged into the Matrix today to feel like I get any kind of adrenaline rush. So we ask you, 410-338-1098, where do you get yours from? What's the last time you got yours? I mean, you kind of put the pedal down a little bit now and then. Would that be yours?
Probably. Like, it would just be, hitting the gas a little bit, getting a little heavy, a little lead foot on the gas and getting that nice little speed sensation. You get that little rush, get all tingly.
Gun it.
Oh, you know what? And this is obviously nothing you can control, but when somebody like cuts into your lane and you almost get in an accident.
Oh, you mother effer.
Yeah, as much as pissed off as you are, it is definitely an adrenaline rush. That's like an immediate like dump of adrenaline.
Josh, I ask you, when's the last time that you felt it? We go.
A couple days ago, I was doing a crossword puzzle.
Whoa.
And realized I got a word. And that's a good feeling. Sometimes I have 90-year-old man hobbies, so sometimes when I feed the birds in the backyard.
Doesn't matter if that still kicks off that adrenaline rush, baby.
Yeah.
The boy eats. Yeah, feel that.
Swallow all that seed.
Whoa. You still talking about birds?
Hey, what I've always fantasized about doing, and that's bull riding. I've always wanted to ride a bull.
I think we should make that happen.
I'd rather ride bull from night court than ride an actual bull. I'd love to put you on a bull. Watch
yeah, I don't,
back
like
snap.
I said, it's a fantasy. I don't know if I'd have the balls to get on like a legit bull.
You'd be the dude that falls off the bull and then gets the horn up the... That would be you. The dude that's just turned into a human shish kebab on the end of some bull's horn.
Yeah, the guys that get knocked out and then don't fall off the bull, like they're stuck. That is...
Oh, the guy, awful. Yeah, he's completely out, but his foot gets caught in there. He's just doing this the whole time, live or exclusive.
Oh, yeah, ragdoll. It's the worst.
The clowns can't get him off of it.
410-338-1098, give us a call or shoot us a text. Do you get a regular dose of adrenaline? If so, how do you do it? Somebody says they used to skateboard, now they play the drums.
Mm-hmm.
Had another one here.
While you look for that, I actually found an article about why it is a good idea to get that adrenaline rush. What happens is when your body gets a boost of adrenaline, it tells smooth muscles in the body to relax, meaning you'll breathe easier. Asthma sufferers usually produce a lot of adrenaline in their bodies and sometimes even get ejected with adrenaline during an attack. Also, it could block pain. If you have yourself an adrenaline rush, when the bloodstream is saturated with adrenaline, the resulting desire to stay alive often runs interference against pain perception, turning you temporarily into a pain-free superhuman, and it can help slow aging. Brief spurts of adrenaline aren't ignored by your body on a molecular level. It reacts by increasing the number of antioxidants circling in your system, which combat free radicals that cause aging and tissue damage.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, we all hear the term like adrenaline junkie.
Mm-hmm. God, Dustin West has got an awesome one here. He says, I stole a Twix last week. Never felt so alive. Yeah. You're a thief. Let's go to the phones. See, Maria Hamden, good morning. Thank you for calling.
Hey. Good morning, guys. How are you?
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great. So yesterday I tried rock climbing for the first time.
Oh, cool. Like real rock climbing or like indoor?
It was down in Earth Trex in Colombia, and my fiance convinced me to go. I have a fear of heights. But it went all right. You're kind of shaking as you get to the top, but as long as you don't fall off, I guess you're good.
And it gave you a nice little adrenaline rush. You felt like good after you left?
Yes, I did. I kind of plan on going again. They're getting a new one in Hamden soon for
cool.
Bouldering. It's the free climbing one, but
I'd like to
we'll
climb
see how that
beneath
goes.
You and look straight up. Did
yeah.
you?
Yeah. I wear a skirt.
Whoa,
frequently,
man.
So.
Putting her on hold. We're going rock climbing with Maria while we get a look at her outcropping.
Earth Trex. Shout out. Wow, look at this place. This place is bananas.
Vulva Mountain.
Oh, my God.
Let's get a look at Mark in Kingsville here. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing, bud.
Oh, pretty good. So, you know how you were just talking about that VR game where you're kind of like a secret agent, correct?
Yeah, super sad.
Okay. Well, if you want to try that in real life, I play a sport called Airsoft.
Oh, which yeah. Is basic.
Yeah, it's we play down Pasadena Air Baseball Park, but it's a real adrenaline rush when it's you against like 14 guys that are trying to hunt you down, and you're trying to crawl through the woods, shoot them without being detected. It's fun if you ever want to give it a try. I mean, I know it sounds pretty lame.
Clear this up for me. It's small. No, it doesn't sound lame. It sounds awesome. It's like paintball, but instead of firing paintballs,
white balls.
Like little white balls. How can you tell when you've tagged a target? Does it leave something behind on you to know you've been hit?
They'll feel it.
I think he's asking. It's like it's more honor system, right? If you get hit, you just have to be like, I got it.
Yes. But some of them can leave red skin marks or welts on the target.
Some guys have been penetrated.
Well, hello there. I'm in.
Some guys, it can sometimes break the skin. Usually there's a little red welt, you know.
All right, well, that, man, because I am not into pain at all. Mike, I'm putting him on hold also. I would like to actually go play airsoft with him. It looks like an awesome time, but I'm going to wear so many effing layers of Kevlar. I'm not good with welts or skin trauma. Let's go to, Blind Mike, what's up, man?
Hey, man.
How you doing?
I am a true adrenaline junkie. I'll do it, or if I haven't done it yet, been whitewater rafting. I go over to iFly every once in a while. I'm looking forward to the thing with Wednesday.
I would give anything.
You know, crossing the street by myself as well. On the 30th of September, I will be rappelling down 16-story building in Bethesda to raise money for the Athletes of Special Olympics.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah, we've Amelia did that one time here.
Yeah, remember I did that and I pushed off the building and got yelled at?
Oh, yeah, you did it.
Because I tried to do the 360 off the building.
So do you remember that? That had to be a killer adrenaline. Like,
dude,
rappelling down the side of a building?
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, it was. You know what was the most adrenaline? Once I was out there, I was obviously my heart was pumping. I was feeling it. But when you crest the edge
over,
and like, all right, I guess I got, your heart is going a trillion miles an hour.
You were there with Amelia and I, though, right, Justin?
I was there. Remember, I went down. I went halfway down, and the guy showed me. He's like, if you want to, you're super safe. I can hang a car off of this line. You can push off with your feet and do a 360. Just try and land back on your feet. I didn't land back on my feet and slammed into the side of the building.
That.
And they're like, don't do that again.
Well, remember, Amelia was the first person to go.
I'm just saying
that would have been what happened was she went upside down. Like, she didn't do it right. She's hanging upside down. And I'm thinking, just give me cyanide and end it right there. But
yeah, she had a little mishap, but she recovered nicely.
Yeah,
insane adrenaline rush.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. We got some people checking in also. Ariel says, in college, I'd ring produce up as bananas to save money, living on the edge. And airsoft is awesome. I get an adrenaline rush. I couldn't tell you enough when I was being hit. I don't know if I want to do that. A lot of people with thievery. I stole a big box of pork chops and hid them underneath some Kleenex. Never felt so alive.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So if you have Netflix, you know, it's sort of a destination for documentaries. You've got, you know, Bigger, Faster, Stronger, The Marinovich Project. You had the Making a Murderer series and the most recent one that's come under fire. And I've got some fresh information in the day since we talked about it is What the Health? It's all about how meats and eggs and animal proteins should be classified in the same.
What the hell?
What's this about? Yeah, who slapped their knee red when they came up with that title? About how all these meats and animal products should be as bad as class one carcinogens. Eating one egg is the same effect on you as eating a carton of unfiltered Pall Mall cigarettes. You might as well put your mouth around the dumpster lid if you're going to be eating a slice of ham. It's just all scare tactic. And the thing is you're reading people now, like every person they talk to in the film, I've come to find out, and thank you to everybody else that sent in the information of the days afterwards we talked about this. They're all like from this vegan agenda. They're all already vegans. The goal of a vegan is to A, turn you into a vegan, B, talk to you about being a vegan. That's all vegans do, is try and indoctrinate you into the cult of.
Is anything sacred anymore?
Nothing.
Is anything sacred?
Nothing.
For God's sake.
Go tell it on the mountain.
Yeah, and the other thing is, food is such a joy in my life. To take that away from, what's left? Sex? I barely have that. So again, you take food, and I got nothing.
Yeah, I declared that. Oh, did I talk about
my reaction upon seeing the film, like the night of, like Buck and I kind of got into it a little bit because I got real mad knowing that, all right, well, we're walking this effing vegan path now. I'm going to have to do this. And I, like, maybe I said this, maybe I didn't. I can't remember. You'll hear about it in the clip coming up. Maybe I did. Where I was like, well, there goes that. One of the few joys I have left in life. And boy, she got pissed. She was like, what? And I'm like, I mean, you know, I love to eat. I didn't mean to put it like that. Like, everything in my life sucks. It does. But I love to eat so much. I mean, food, Josh, you would agree.
Yeah, I love food. I do. I haven't been eating a lot lately, but I do love food.
Yes.
Sometimes I overeat, sometimes I undereat. There's really no in between for me.
Well, hear about it now. Behind the curtain, Buck and myself got all freaked out about the possibility of a New York strip steak being as bad as putting your lips on the muffler of a revving engine. I watched What the Health, and now I'm sucking on tofu. I'm Behind the Curtain.
Program on Netflix.
It's a documentary.
It's
right?
Become a documentary go-to source. You watched a bunch of documentaries you turned us on to with, you know, Scott's Netflix pick of the week. And then this one got rolling out there called What the Health 2017 documentary filmmaker by a guy that looks like he knows everything about man buns and boogie boarding, Kip Anderson, self-described hypochondriac, which was the first red flag. When the very beginning of this film starts, What the Health, he just goes on and on about all his health eccentricities. If he sees a disease, he does everything he can to prevent it. If he reads about the National Cancer Society's recommendation to stop eating this, start doing that, he'll do it to a T. He says his homepage is WebMD. Anything that he feels, a tickle, a bump, a scratch, an itch, WebMD immediately. So the guy is already, this Kip Anderson fella, is a little left of center. So Buck, who is an extremely responsible mother.
Your significant other.
Yes. She even like made her own baby food for the first child. You know, she deep in the health game. Did the prenatal vitamin, everything. Wouldn't even use hair dyes or sunscreens when with child because she didn't want the chemicals getting into her skin. We could transfer to the baby. Very forward thinking and progressive when it comes to a kid's health. She sees this.
What's it called again?
What the Health.
What the Health.
And then it turns into a thing like, oh my God, we are done eating meat. We are done drinking milk. We're done even looking at cheese. It claims that eating eggs is as bad as smoking. There's a moment in this film where it says that eating an egg is as bad as smoking 5 cigarettes.
A chicken egg?
A chicken egg. It even cuts to this salacious scene of a mother preparing breakfast for her kids, but in the skillet instead of eggs, she's like scrambling cigarettes for the children and just plating them.
Really?
And I'm looking at this thing like, oh, God, you, man.
You need protein.
Yeah, you got plant protein because if you drink milk where there's protein in, there's these weird enzymes in milk that never leave your body. They stay there forever and can only leave your body through A, breast milk, B, the birth of a child. So the more you drink cow's milk, the more you're just guaranteeing yourself some weird diabetic brain rot. And essentially all you could do is just eat forest mushrooms and dried kale, drink water and not stare into the sun, or you'll be dead by 50. It's the scariest effing thing. And The Sun, Daily Mail, Independent, other people are doing reports trying to debunk the damn thing. But she wants to try going vegan for a month. And I said,
I'm getting a ton of texts about this movie, by the way.
Talk to me. Talk to me about it, please. Because I just watched it.
What the Health is just vegan propaganda by Joaquin Phoenix.
Is that who did it?
There's a ton of research available with evidence to disprove everything the documentary claims. What the Health is fake news. Another doc filled with total propaganda and feeding off people's emotions. Just everything in moderation and live your best life. Girlfriend and I watched What the Health a month ago. Thought we should try this plant-based diet stuff. Ate 2 veggie burgers and a non-meat breakfast sausage and said, I'll take the cancer.
Yeah, that man, I would rather.
My best friend, the dude that lives in Virginia, who I grew up with my whole life, he now lives in Virginia on the side of a mountain and he's a hippie. Mike, he listens every morning. Shout out, my best friend, like in the world, one of my best friends.
Shout out, Mike.
He's vegan. He's total vegan. Like, total.
That's vegetarian, right?
No, he's vegan.
Like, what? Vegetarians can have, like, cheese, butters, milk.
Okay.
A vegan is nothing to do with an animal.
We went
protein.
And got breakfast on our last, we all get together every year. Actually, this.
They won't even wear leather.
This Thursday, he's not going to be on this trip this year, but this Thursday, I'm going up to Maine to hang out with all my friends that I grew up with. We do it once a year. Last year, we went, and we went out to breakfast, and he just ordered oatmeal with blueberries. And a fruit platter. The oatmeal comes out and it's got like some sort of like bubbles on it. He goes, did you put something on like in this oatmeal? And he goes, oh yeah, we just put like a little bit of butter in it. Couldn't eat it. He goes, I can't have butter.
Yeah.
Anything from an animal, no butter, no milk, no dairy, no fish, no meat, no chicken. It's all like twigs and berries.
I respect that.
He stands his ground. He drew a line in the sand and said, I'm going to eat that line instead of a pork chop.
What the Health is a very biased, vegan-forced documentary. Most facts are true, but a lot are completely wrong. One being how bad eggs are. Eggs are proven to be one of the most nutritious foods available and good for you.
There's a point in the movie, a lot of this is real egg-based, where they said that there's all kinds of stuff you cannot classify an egg as. Like, you know, they call it the incredible edible egg, but they can't call it healthy, nutritious. They label meats as carcinogens, where they label lunch meats and processed meats and sausages and all sorts of delicious cylindrical beef that, you know me, if it's meaty and cylindrical, it's going between these lips. And it's as bad as other carcinogens in cigarettes. But then you read all these other counter studies and everyone's like, no, it's full of S. It's total garbage. Eat the hell out of a steak. And I said I'd try it for like a month.
So you're doing it,
dude.
For
I'm
a month?
2 days in, and I am. And Josh, you know, I do everything I can. Not in the studio. I try my hardest to not have that happen. I might have to start broadcasting remotely from the roof with a Comrex unit. It's bad. It's bad, bad. My gut is upside down. We got veggie burger patties. It's brown. Crunchy disc of mushroom, beans, yams.
Some of it's good, though.
I haven't hit that stuff yet. I have not stumbled
really?
Over that. I got to find that stuff. We're buying small batch, trying to see what we like. Now, say I'll do it for a month.
Like, you go to...
I'm not changing my life.
The veggie burgers from, like, Whole Foods are fantastic.
They good?
Oh, they're so good.
What are they called? Morningstar Farms? Is that the good stuff?
No, they have, like, these packaged ones that are in, like, the front of the store.
Yeah.
That, like, they make there, and then they just put in a container.
Mm.
And I think they're made out of, like, mushrooms and carrots and peas are in there. I love those veggie burgers.
You know what I'm going to go get today is I'm going to try
don't
that.
Don't think you're getting, like, a... Don't think it's going to be, like, a burger. That's your problem.
Yeah, that's what I go in there thinking. I'm thinking a brown, meaty something.
No.
I'm like, oh,
it's
man.
Not.
Well, I'm going to try that jackfruit pulled pork. I got to go buy a jackfruit today, crack that big alien husk open, scoop out the seeds.
You're speaking a different language at this point.
Oh, have you seen... You haven't seen this video?
I don't even know what that is.
No. Oh, man. It's so... The jackfruit is this big, gigantic, like, alien hive-looking pod. It's massive as hell. You crack it open. It's got these seed pods in there, and you pull out this casing around the seeds. And if you shred it up, mix it with onions, cabbage, barbecue sauce, you bake it up. Apparently, and I haven't tried it yet, it tastes and has the mouthfeel of pulled pork, to where you could trick someone into thinking it's pulled pork. Like, if I'm going to do this... I need to be the kid that you hide the broccoli and the chicken tender. You hide the cauliflower and the mac and cheese. And this jackfruit pulled pork apparently is the closest that they've ever come to taking something that's all plant-based and really doing something that someone would be like, oh, okay, I didn't know that this was meat. Because every Morningstar Farms meat substitute, whatever I've ever had, have been like, okay, this is edible, but it ain't replacing a Jimmy Dean sausage. This isn't scratching the itch that like a Jimmy's prime rib would.
Well, I watched the one years ago, Fat, Sick, and
Nearly Dead. I can't stop farting.
I have a juicer that sits in my cabinet that I've used 10 times.
Yeah,
because I watched that, and I'm like, the guy juiced. He had all these health problems. He got off all of his medicines, and it's like, I have a juicer that I never use.
Yeah. So
good luck being vegan. Maybe we'll talk to my buddy coming up or something, or just reach out to vegans.
Can I ask him for help?
Vegan, dude. Yeah, I'll give you his... He will guide you along the way, because he is straight up just... Straight vegan.
You were
vegan.
And
he has been for years.
Now you be gone. All right, let's talk to him soon and help me along this 1 month journey, because trust me, on day 31, I'm going to bite a cow's ass.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So all my stuff is here. I've got the collarless white shirt. I've got the mortise white makeup. I have the black beaded rosary. I have the goth wig, Mike Anderson. I think you're going to join me at the Depot, Orpheus. I'm going goth. I'm going to do it this coming week. Josh, the offer's there if you'd like to hang out with a bunch of hemophiliac pseudo wannabe Twilight vampires.
No, those people scare me.
Yeah, they scare me.
Unless they put out.
I gotta wonder, does it devolve into a sexual experience that night if you find some Vampirella-looking Elvira chick and you kind of vibe over the dark arch? Do you go back to her lace-covered, weird tapestry-laden studio apartment downtown and smash?
If I were single, yes. But, yeah, I don't know what it is, but I think every guy has a certain space in their heart for goth chicks. Again, I don't know if it's the badassery. Because, I mean, you see a goth dude.
I want to kick this guy's ass up and down the block.
The last thing you think is badass. But you see a goth chick, on the other hand, and for whatever reason, I just imagine this badass chick that could, you know, kill you at the drop of a hat.
Here's my mindset that I've never done that with a woman of the goth variety.
Yes.
Or sex in general. It was actually a virgin birth when Evan emerged. But my worry is that, Mike, we've had some sexual encounters, and Josh, you're usually pretty confident in yours afterwards, but we've had some regrettable ones where the minute you got done, you thought to yourself, oh, I messed up. I shouldn't be here right now. This shouldn't have happened. I feel like if I was in there with some girl that's carved her favorite poem into the side of her arm or has like a Bauhaus tattoo right above the crack of her ass, I'm going to want to get out of that room as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I imagine there's a lot of choking involved. A
lot of scratching. You're getting scratched.
Biting.
You're getting bit. Blood's being drawn, and she's going to rub it across her chest like a victorious BJ pen. I'm not into that scene. Like, what do you talk about afterwards? Because that's one of the most awkward moments of a sexual encounter is the post-orgasm water cooler chat. Like, well, that hit the spot.
Yeah, well, I mean, historically, there has been zero goth chicks that have been interested in me. Because I went to an art school, so there
Ditto.
Was a ton of them there. And I was interested in a lot of them, but they were never in the least bit interested in me.
Well, we'll see this week as we go deep cover in the underground Baltimore goth scene. Hear about the preparations from this past week. Look forward to the week ahead as I show up wearing all my goth stuff. Mike, myself, and anybody else that would like to attend, we're going to go to Orpheus or the Depot and then report back from our deep cover goth experiment. Hear about it now behind the curtain.
Where are we headed here? Goth? We're talking goth?
Mike, you want to go goth? You want to go hipster? I would prefer if we could to go a little goth, yeah. Yes. You started doing this thing with the... you were fascinated by a group of hipsters that you saw that were so... How do
just
I say
outlandishly
this?
Dressed. Because, I mean, we've all seen the flannel shirt, the mustache, the funny glasses, that kind of, which is apparently after my research, like, that kind of hipster is now gone. If you're cool, at least. Nobody cool is still wearing the whole, like, mustache flannel shirt. But, yeah, it's such a moving target after, like I said, I did some research and I talked to a former employee here that now lives in Brooklyn. And, it's just a weird sort of thing. It's just an identity that I've never really understood. Or it's just really people wanting to be cool, I guess. And they want, I don't know.
Well, you said something just now that I feel like is what's going to make this difficult for you. You said a moving target.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it.
The hipster changes with the wind. You can never tell what the fashion of the day is. Which is why I decided to lean in a different direction. While you go deep cover and try and infiltrate the local hipster scene, I'm going straight goth. Yeah. I've purchased a couple of things, getting ready to at some point sneak into Club Orpheus around here, even though it's a club that's available to other people. I'll tell people that's not good, but I'll pay the cover.
Oh, I got some texts earlier, by the way. They're saying that you shouldn't be headed to Orpheus anymore. It's not the jam.
Where's the new jam? There's well, text me the jam. What's the new jam?
What the hell was it called?
I got to hear
it. The Depot?
Yeah, the Depot. And yeah. The
someone told me that one. The Depot. What is the Depot? Electroshock? All right, here's what I got. I'm going deep cover. I've purchased the following. Flongo men/women's vintage stainless steel black beads with crucifix.
Damn, you like buying stuff.
Men's slim fit long sleeve white banded collar shirt.
Manic Panic, Virgin Dream Tone, Gothic Foundation.
How much are you spending on all this?
About $45.
Oh, that's not bad.
And Ruby's Costume Goth Wig, Black Blue, One Size Fits All, $956 from Singapore.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Walk into the depot with a wig on, you're gonna bounce you out of there.
It's dimly lit. Can they tell Mike? Do you think I'll get a bounce with that?
I think you'll fit in. We should say that the whole goth thing came up earlier this week because apparently, after talking to my cohort in Brooklyn, she was saying a lot of women now are bringing back the goth look mixed with like a 70s rocker chick look, but it's definitely back in vogue.
Yeah, I just was kind of always me. Yeah, maybe I skewed like a little like preppy, like jockey, but I was never anything like outlandish. It was never like a super fad or...
I was drainage ditch skate punk. I was guy always hanging out in drainage ditch, attempting and failing heel flips.
What were you wearing in high school, Speaks?
That's a good question. I was so preoccupied with my own anxiety, I don't even remember.
You showed up naked by accident.
Probably jeans, like nerdy jeans. And
got them pleated front jeans.
Probably.
Yeah. And Beagle Boys.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I've never been a fashion maven.
And Mike, you and I seem to stand in lockstep over our agreement that we both love a real nice glob of white trash hotness. You got foulness. Oh, hell yeah. Scott, join us here at the white trash table. Josh is
tinge
room for
white trash is always appreciated.
But next door to that, you've got, it's not trashy, but it's still kind of scary. The goth chick, the goth woman, she's horrifying. She's going to do something weird. She's going to draw a pentagram on the side of your car in dead deer blood. She's going to write you a super long poem in her own blood on purple notebook paper.
But it's funny you say that because I was watching. Yeah.
Look at her.
I watched the new Love Connection with, what's his name? Andy Cohen. Shout out.
Yeah, shout
Bravo,
out.
Bravo, Andy Cohen. Love
Get him
Connection.
On the show.
And they had one of the girls that went on the date was a goth chick.
Yeah.
And she took the guy to a cemetery.
Yes!
It was so ridiculous.
That's
amazing.
And
she said that she had one date where a guy drank her blood.
Oh, my God.
I'm all just in. Like, all right.
Okay, I'm filling
knock
up.
Knock it off.
I'm filling up. Oh, yeah. Firuza Balk from The Craft. So, okay, oh. So the depot's the spot. I've got to get.
Right,
I got
to
get.
What black is, pants. So explain the whole game. So you're
here's
just going to go,
doing.
And then you're going to report back.
Copy that. I'm going to get all the stuff. It should arrive on Friday. Mike had an amazing idea. If his stuff shows up tomorrow, sometimes Amazon surprises you. I'm going to wear it on Friday, and we don't draw attention to it when the comedians are here. They just think you guys work with a goth kid. I know, a little inside, but some of the stuff we do for us. So we're going to put it all on. I'm going to get the
wig.
You're
going to put it on.
I'm going to have you put it on me. And we're going to put it all on, and then I'm going to go to the depot. I'm going to go to Orpheus, all right? I'm going to go on one of those club nights, and I am just going to go deep cover and come back and do an expose.
This on the heels of the thing you did at the Block. Where did you go to the Block?
I went to a peep booth.
Okay. You went to a peep booth
by yourself?
I got to see
a buddy booth.
You going to a goth club by yourself?
I'm struggling to find an identity.
You going through some sort of crisis?
I don't know who I am anymore.
What's happening here?
Obscura, a night for goth at heart with neo-medieval, dark wave, neo-folk, death rock. How great does that sound? Mike, would you go goth with...
I'll go with, maybe I'll put on like a black t-shirt.
Well,
I don't want to go too
just,
hard.
You go just jeans, black t-shirt, and see if you like stand out or if they kind of maybe look at you sideways.
Uh-huh.
Like, what's he doing in here? What's that guy doing? He's clearly not Jack.
Oh, have you ever seen the Cyber Goth Dance Party? It's got like a trillion videos. Okay, look at these maniacs.
Is it the one under the overpass?
Yes, you've seen the Cyber Goth Dance Party. It's just a bunch of these maniacs underneath of an overpass.
Yeah,
some dude hits
legendary. Something
on a boombox, and they all start getting down in this crazy like year 2050 style Blade Runner dance, and I'm fascinated with it. So I'll go. I'll do a little expose when I get back. Who'd I talk to? What were the drinks like? What was the mood? Did I fit in? Did anybody sniff out any BS?
When are you planning on going?
I'm going next week. I'm going to the depot now.
Next week?
Yeah.
What do you mean, during the week or on the weekend?
I'm during the week, so I come in all haggard the next day. Black bags under my eyes. What if I get totally into it and I just become that? I go native. What if I go native and I can never return?
Because August 19th, they have Bats Over Baltimore Goth. Industrial DJ CB every third Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
All right, August 20th is Darkscape Goth.
Yes.
DJs Greg and TJ. Yeah, this is the joint.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, I've been so far removed from that sort of scene, I guess, that like just this past few days researching this, I've just realized how disconnected and how much I've forgotten that, you know, this very youth, the younger, you know, when you're, it took me back to college when you're like trying to be cool and you're trying to fit in and you want to find that scene that, you know, fits you. It took me right back to that sort of
Well, it's
mentality.
Funny because like you just look around and anywhere you look, that's what it is. It's just a scene. Like Jimmy Buffett could be considered a scene. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you are into the electronic dance music, the EDM. That's a whole scene. If I go to a fish show, that's a effing scene.
That's a scene,
are you
man.
Kidding me? It just skews a totally different way. But there's the dress. There's the dance. There's the the rituals.
Do you know, this kind of scratches an itch. I used to love Jenny Jones.
Did you watch Loss?
The TV show?
The TV show.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I love Jenny Jones.
Jenny Jones is amazing.
I think
you're thinking Jenny Craig.
Oh,
that's the stuff.
My
yes.
bad.
Noted goth fat chick, Jenny Craig.
The blonde talk show.
Yeah. And they'd have goth kids on with their, like, red state parents. My damn son's dressing like a ghoul. He's coming in wearing his mom's black veil bride outfit and drinking blood from squirrels that he found. He's into Satan.
Did you hear what happened to Jenny Jones?
You, sir, have
don't do it.
The floor.
Don't do
I
it.
Heard
Stop.
That she was watching TV on the couch. She fell off the couch and dislocated her jaw.
Oh
and
my.
Could, like, had. I don't think she can talk, or
no.
She has a really hard time. It was the craziest story I've ever read.
Really? She dislocates her jaw.
Stop laughing.
That can't be.
I need it to be.
I'm looking. I don't see anything about it.
Maybe it was another talk show host.
No, I think it's real. Here.
Sally Jesse?
No, it wasn't Sally Jesse.
Phil Donahue? Rachel Ray? Josh, what it'll take? What name a dollar figure to put some white mortise paint on you? We get you a skinny puppy T-shirt. Real? You already got the tight black jeans?
Yeah, I do have tight black jeans.
You're already a quarter of the way there.
You didn't go through one phase in your youth?
No. I mean, for a while in elementary school, I wore button-down shirts and put pens in my front shirt pocket.
So you're a lambda, lambda, lambda. You're a revenge of the nerds. So, yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to hit these clubs. I'll report back. Exposé. Mike, where are you going? Because I've got the outfit. I got the location.
I'll head with you. Like yeah. I said, I'll be kind of like a wingman in that I'll kind of temper your look by having a more subdued goth look.
And I'll just dress the way I always dress.
Just,
like a button down.
You
and
beat up everyone.
Some sort of loafers.
Just shove
oh
everyone.
My God.
No, I'm not going to be like down. The jock guy.
I want you to bully everyone.
Why would I do that? That's not who I am.
I know, but it would still be funny.
But I mean, I will just go like this.
Just go like that? Oh my God, we're going to a goth night. Thank you. Thank you.
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Oh boy, we just certainly let our helicopter parenting liberal flags fly on Wednesday. We're anti-nuclear war and we're pro-child safety, and apparently that makes us sissies. We had a conversation about playground anxiety. You'll hear coming up, and we didn't get to talk about it enough in there. Is some of the playground equipment of yore. You showed me a picture of a playground thing from, like, what was it, the 30s or 40s?
It said 1900s.
1900s. It was these kids just crawling all over this weird rickety iron erector set two stories off the ground. It's just chains and bolts. I remember we had one, shout out Arthur Middleton Elementary School, Charles County, Maryland. We had this big platform. It looked like a big, tall jungle gym, but the top of it had a wood platform. And I'd say it was 8 feet off the ground, maybe not as tall as the ceiling in here. But there was ladders that climbed to the top of it. No railing.
There was nothing. You were just on top of this huge disc 8 feet up, and kids are falling off the thing left and right.
I just did a Google search for old-time playgrounds, and it's insane.
You know what I think has made a lot of us more paranoid and careful, at least for me?
Illegal immigration.
And YouTube and internet videos of horrific injuries, tragedies. Like before the dawn of the internet, you just didn't see that stuff. It wasn't on your radar. Now, like when I'm doing bench press, all I'm thinking about is my elbow hyperextending.
And some of the equipment, too, you have to wonder how it made it that long out there before someone decided to call it a day. Looking at you, the seesaw. The seesaw was a real exercise of trust. You had to pray that the fat kid on the other end didn't slide off and your ass comes slamming back to earth, or that they jump on the damn thing and just sort of catapult you into the air. It was a real trust exercise, the crusty wooden seesaw, of which we had, again, at Arthur Middleton Elementary.
Or the thing that you just got on and you just spun it around and around and around
Carousel thing?
This is on my screen right now. I'm looking right at it.
Yeah, that thing.
That ratty thing, because you get a kid that get caught under it.
Stop it! Or you get the friend trapped on there and you just go spin it as fast as you can.
If you just see a spin wheel of puke, it would just be a pinwheel of yak. Well, we're anxious about our own kids and other kids falling and braining themselves on playground equipment. It's playground anxiety. I'm behind the curtain. I love when the little ones get a chance to go outside. Baby, get down from there. Baby, get down from there. Baby! Ah, damn it. So I'm at the playground yesterday with little Evan, letting him burn off his energy.
Burn it off.
Burn it off, baby. Yeah, I got to have him, like, run around. He's getting that age where he's running up stuff. He's swinging from the effing chandeliers. He's climbing up curtains. He's chasing the cat with a fork. So you got to kind of burn that energy off. So I take him out to the playground, and I'm pretty good about it. He's a clumsy little pork chop. He's never met a curb he didn't enjoy falling off of. And I'm watching him out there at this big playground thing. And the playground in my neighborhood shaped like a big pirate ship. It's this big, awesome pirate ship. And he likes walking up and down the steps, and I'm doing whatever. And there's this little girl up there, and she is scaling this thing in a way it ain't meant to be scaled. Like, unless her parents were both professional rock climbers, get your ass down from there. And Buck's out there, I'm there, and Buck finally goes, Sweetie, you're making me a little nervous,
sweetie. To the other kid, not even
Evan. Yeah. Evan's on the ground. Yeah. And we're looking at this 5-year-old girl, maybe 10 pounds heavier than Stella, no taller, crawling on the outside of this thing, 12-foot drop to the ground onto just gravel. That if she falls...
Where was her skill level at, though?
Unsure of herself, holding on the outside and doing this with her feet, kind of like she's like wiggling one foot looking for a foot grasp.
Okay, yes.
So this isn't someone like, oh, this girl is just naturally a spider monkey scurrying up trees.
I've seen kids smaller than Stella with the spider monkey ability, and you're like, whoa! Like, that kid's amazing.
The kid's X-23. This kid, not sure of itself. And you hear, Buck's going, sweetie, you're making me nervous. And then that's when Mom, who's just buried in a phone...
I was sitting on a bench buried in her phone.
80 yards away going, sweetie, get down from there. Right back into the phone. Like, your daughter's about to take a header off of this thing. And that is nothing that I feel like having to deal with on this day, selfishly. But not even oh my goodness, scurrying over and run over. Like, if Evan's about to walk off of a 6-foot cement curb and possibly bust his mush up onto the ground, I'm arms around. I'm not saying I'm a helicopter parent, but he doesn't have his legs under him yet. And this lady's just like, wrapped up in whatever stupid dog Snapchat filter that we all are sick of seeing. And the daughter is about to snap her spine and live a very different life if you're not paying attention. So
playground anxiety.
I'm getting
nervous
around playgrounds. Not just my kid, other people's kids.
Here's a tweet I sent out. This is funny you brought this up because 3 days ago I tweeted, still not even close to mastering the art of relaxing while Stella is on a giant playground.
Oh, yeah, man. No.
I can't do it. And you see there was a same thing. I'm over there, and these parents show up with two kids, and their one kid, these parents were a little wacky, by the way. Mm-hmm. Like they were. They should have had to have passed some sort of test before they were able to procreate. Just sitting off to the side. And I just keep hearing the dad going, where's Evan?
Where's Blythe?
Like, I don't know. He's somewhere over there. Oh, he's over there up on that thing. Oh, okay.
Where's Aiden?
Just totally not even paying attention.
And meanwhile, I'm over there spotting Stella like at every turn because she's not the most, like that one little girl. She's not the most. She's getting way better, though. I'm not giving her enough credit, but still. And the other thing is, you know, these playgrounds are for like all ages. So there's a little side of them that's maybe 2 or 3 feet off the ground. But then you go up another flight of stairs. If she's standing on top of this playground, she's probably 10 feet in the air.
Though they have the fire pole.
Like, right.
You better be 10 or 12 before that. But my kid, meanwhile, who's almost
trying to reach for the fire pole.
I want the fire pole. Like, you're not a firefighter.
Right. The fire pole. It's like there's just a big opening, and then 2 or 3 feet out, there's a fire pole. And it's like, okay, you're like 10 feet in the air. You misjudge this. You're falling 10 feet to the ground. And who knows what you're breaking, what you're cracking, what happens to that dome of yours, those arms. So I don't know.
I can't relax at them. I'm chasing his fat ass the whole time. I know you're doing the same with Stella. She's taller. She's faster.
She's 4, so she's getting there. And at school, she plays around. But those things at school, they're only, you know, they're like this big. They're 3 or 4 or 5 feet off the ground. Once you get to those all-ages playgrounds where your kid is 12 feet in the air.
Oh, all bets are off.
It's like there's nothing stopping them from just plummeting to their death. I'm like, like you said, you see the parent. Friday night, we went to Fed Hill up to the playground there, which is a great playground. Then the other one, we went down to the airport where you get to see the planes coming in. The one Friday night, Fed Hill, there's a guy just buried in his phone. I mean, buried. He doesn't even glance up. And I'm like, I don't know who your kid is or which one they are, but A.
Please have a kid here.
Let's hope they're like super competent and you don't need to be watching them. B, how do you know they're not being an a-hole or doing something wrong to like another? Like, you didn't even care at all about what your kid was doing.
How about this? Let's say the kid isn't even climbing on there, and you're buried shoulder deep in whatever stupid flower crown Snapchat filter, knock it off, you basic bitch. And you look up, and the kid's gone. You've spent so much time glaring down this glowing little phone. You got someone that just like, and you're mine, and just bounces off. The playground that we're at has two paths that lead into the darkest woods. I'm not sure who designed this playground. They're like, hey, what's the most sinister area with an easy escape route for a pederast that we could possibly build this at? Oh, right there? Perfect. Near the dark forest. So you're just looking down. This woman didn't look up for 10 minutes. 10 minutes she didn't look up. You're grabbing someone, putting him in a car, and 5 miles
easily
away before she gets
done
tapping someone's likes on an Instagram or liking somewhere on a Facebook. It's scary, man. It gives me, like you said, it gives me anxiety. Mike, you take the nudie moose for a walk, a run somewhere, playground, tennis courts. You're not going to go and just sit there and start manning our social media and fingers crossed the dog hasn't run 12 miles away.
You know what drives me nuts about the dog walking is the people that still won't use a leash.
Oh, idiots.
And I had an experience a couple months ago where I'm walking the dog, and I see this guy walking a very large and powerful dog that looked relatively scary.
Got it.
And okay. Not on a leash, and immediately that dog sees my dog and bolts right at him. So I just went into defense mode, picked the dog up, like, over my head. As this dog, like, had its paws on my chest and was, like, trying to reach him. Before his owner could get over there.
I saw a woman just buried in her phone while her daughter was scaling 10, 12 feet high the side of this equipment. Leslie Ray Smith, big fan of the show, loves me to death. Did the kid fall? Apparently, mom was right. Yeah, I was there to save the daughter. Leslie, tweet out more photos of preteens in swimsuits. All right,
that's a good point. The kid didn't fall.
Yeah, because I was there like an angel of mercy. All right, Leslie, this ain't the show for you. All right, hit the bricks.
What? She's got a differing opinion.
No, you ought to take a look. She's a real big fan of moi here. Justin, shut up!
Here's a picture of school playground equipment in the year 1900.
What?
Oh,
what?
Let me see.
Look at that one kid in the middle. That can't be real. Oh, my God. No. Oh, no. It's like one of those guys that work on, like, the steel girders, like 500 feet in the air.
Wow. Yeah, maybe we are just being pussies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're total sissies. I love the point, too. You're raging.
Helicopter. They call us helicopter dads because we hover.
I'll watch to make sure that.
Are you happy being a helicopter dad?
You know, I'm happy doing is enjoying an afternoon where I'm not having to have a dental hygienist pull teeth out of his lips because he took a header into the ground.
It's funny you say that. My daughter Rory was climbing a ladder at the playground when she was 2.5 years old. With my help, When she got to the top, I thought she was stable, so I let go of her. She slipped and fell straight down, knocking out her two front teeth, blood everywhere. I lost it. She ended up being totally fine, but I'm still traumatized to this day, 3 years later.
Yeah, you've never truly dealt with the hell of watching some kid brain themselves, and then afterwards, yeah, you might be a little bit more helicopter-ish. No, I get it. I'm not going to take Evan and fully armor him up once he gets a bike. He'll have a helmet. I'm not going to put, like, a mouth guard, a chest protector, a cod piece, gauntlets on him. If he falls, he falls. He gets back up. If a kid burns himself on something, he learns to not touch it again. I get that. But for everyone that's just like, oh, man, the mom was right, or quit being a helicopter parent, the daughter was 12 feet up, and if you were there, which you weren't, she's doing this thing with her foot where she's like shakily looking for somewhere to put it. She can't get back over.
Yeah.
So we go up there, help her back over the damn thing. And then, by the way, when mom was done going, Ruth, get down from there, right back into the phone.
It says playgrounds and restaurants. No one watches their kids. Yeah, restaurants now have playgrounds. And, you know, you go out back on the deck and you have a few beers and you just let your kid go to the playground. It says no one watches their kids. There was a kid running laps around and spat at our table every time he passed.
Yeah.
And the mom was having girls' night and not even caring. That's a little bit different, but... yeah, phones are packed. 410-338-1098. Texts and calls are coming in. These playgrounds. I don't know, man. I just can't. I can't relax. I don't know if that's on me. I don't know if I should just relax and let her take a header.
Yeah.
Get it over with.
Yeah, nothing says my daughter's a badass like having to have a feeding tube because she cracked her neck falling 12 feet off of something. Yeah, that kid's a real badass.
Somebody says, ever been to Watkins Regional Park in Bowie? Heart attack city. It's huge. There's kids everywhere. I'm the one following my two-year-old around everywhere. Meanwhile, there's kids younger than him up there by themselves eyeing up the fire pole. Number one cause of head injuries is children or playgrounds. I don't know. They do got that soft stuff now that goes underneath them, which is cool.
Yeah, like we have like this weird gravel slash rubber ball mixture.
Yeah.
And there's a pad underneath of it, but the stuff is still hard. And it's not like they're falling into a foam pit. If this, you know, this girl in question was to happen to, you know, rocket towards the earth, she's not going to bounce back up and head over the swings. Let's go.
I mean,
to the phones.
Let me add, like, just around the room,
please.
Just being a kid. I mean, how many times did you have to go to the ER?
Oh, quite a bit. Oh yeah, I definitely had a concussion off the swing set after I tried to do a backflip and hit my head on the wood border, and then I remember having to go to Southern Maryland Hospital because I built a ramp in my front yard and the
Hell
wood
yeah,
broke
man.
And I ate it on the side of my dad's bumper.
Yeah. It's a good hospital.
Real nice hospital. Mom worked there for years at hospice. Yeah, I spent quite a bit of time in the ER. My brother had his ankle bone pop through the skin skateboarding. He's got a real nice scar. Let's go to Ed in Catonsville. Ed, thank you for holding.
Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks.
Hey,
you hear me okay?
Clear as day.
Yes.
All right, cool. I totally agree with what you guys are saying. You need to know the limitations of your kids. Even if you don't, you still need to watch your kids. Like, that's totally agreeable. But what I really wanted to call about was birthday parties. I don't know if you guys have had to experience this yet, but I have a 5-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 1-month-old, all boys. Every time my brother-in-law has a party, he invites all his crappy, yuppie friends, and they all bring their kids, and none of them watch their kids. And it's probably like 20 kids at least that are at the parties, and there's a few of the kids in particular that are just a-holes, big-time a-holes.
Right.
And they're older. They're like 9, 10 years old. So my 5-year-old, who like wants to play and be part of the crowd, whatever, his kids are just always jerks to him.
Yeah, jacking him up and being
just you know, posturing up, saying, "Oh, I'm the bigger kid," and whatever. And I'm
watch out now. And there he goes. Yes, happy trails.
That's a different story altogether.
I do.
Other people's kids
it.
Are a-holes. It's
if,
a fact.
If there's
and
a
your
little
kid, probably is too, but.
Yeah, everybody's kids.
Everyone is an
a-hole, including our own. Yes, Evan's a bastard some days. If there's a little bit of like bullying or whatever, some aggro, kind of hang back for a second.
Yeah, let them figure it out a little.
See how they figure it out. But if I see a kid dangling from a power line, I'm not going to be like, let's see how they get themselves out of this conundrum. No, I'm going to go ahead and help if their physical well-being is in immediate danger. Let's go to Andrew Frederick. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Hey.
Quite well.
So, I don't think you only have to watch your kid, but you got a really, you know, situational awareness it was a Cocker Spaniel was loose in the park where we were at. And, you know, my daughter loves dogs. Our neighbor has a little dog. And she reached down to pet this dog, and this dog launched up and locked on her cheek.
Oh! Ouch.
Yeah, she ended up, you know, and I didn't think anything of it. I was like, it's a park. There's tons of kids. Obviously, this dog must be good with kids. Otherwise, the people wouldn't let it run free in the park. She ended up with 4 stitches,
oh my
and now
God,
she's
that's terrible.
She won't go near a dog.
Terrified,
you know?
Dogs. Yeah,
horrifying, horrifying. Too.
Mike, why did you make me laugh? Damn it!
Stop it, dude. Come on, dude. He's putting together his 8 o'clock news. Sean Edgewater, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Quite well.
Hey, so I've got a nice little story for you. When I was a third grader, I'm sure you guys have seen it, but have you ever seen like how spies and like the cool movies, how they slide down ladders like really cool?
I'm afraid and, like, not. I've never seen that.
They put their feet and their hands on the side and slide down. Yeah, I've never sort of like if you hit the run button in a video game, it usually works also.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Dark Souls. Well, when I was a third grader, I tried to do that down the playground ladder and hit my front 2 teeth on the very first bar.
Oh!
And I'm 25 now, and to this day, my teeth marks are still in the ladder.
Oh, man. You took a bite out of those with adamantium teeth.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's a nice little look back going to that playground because every single time I just have to laugh about it.
Yeah, see, that's not a thing with playgrounds. You're just terrible at ladders.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the playground thing.
Do we have any, like, parents on hold that maybe...
Oh, we have here. Took aunt's kids,
want to justify their not watching their kids or think we're pussies for watching or hovering too much. Or, yeah. I don't want to hear, like, really war stories. I want to hear from the parents.
Yeah, I want the people like, oh, come on. I want the Leslie Smith Rays of the world. Let me hear those. The guy that's like, you guys are such sissies, something like that. Give me,
because I like, there was a dad who, and I even said it to him when we were at the playground, because he let his little boy like run around, right? And his little boy would go up, like you said, they go up high. He climbed this one thing, and the top of this thing had to be, I'm 6 feet tall, the top of the thing had to be like 10 or 11 feet in the air.
Yeah.
And his son is like up there straddling this thing, hanging off of it, and I'm freaking out. And then this dad's just standing there like having a conversation with me. And I'm, like, trying to have a conversation with him. But out of the corner of my eye, I'm like, I just go, man, I go, how do you, and I finally look at him, I go, how do you just relax? He goes, ah, man. He goes, he's been through a lot. He's been, you know, he's fallen a whole bunch of times. He's tough, and I kind of know his ability level. And I was like, and that's what the, you know, the caller said. It's like, you kind of get to know what your kid's skill level is. And he was, like, totally at peace with this kid. And the kid never got hurt. So it was like, okay,
right.
Maybe he's right. Like, I don't know.
I would rather help and have it not be needed than not help and had it been needed. Amy W. writes, legitimately pulled kids out of the shallows in a dolphin pool while the parents were phoning at the top of an amphitheater. Where the hell are you at, Amy? In amphitheaters, dolphins, kid drowning, stuff like that? Yeah, you should have just let them just breathe in that water while the dolphins pull them out to sea, because that would have toughened them up. Build character.
Getting a lot of people that are coming, taking runs at us.
Take a run, you bitch.
Calling us helicopter parents. I never heard that phrase before. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, our children are going to be beautiful when they're 20s, and you're a weird toxic Avenger-looking child whose face is on the side of their skull because you let them slip and fall on the twisty slide to build character. He's going to have them dating somewhere in Croatia, purchasing a wife.
The likelihood they will actually get hurt is very low.
You should see some of the photos we're getting. Of people with their skulls blasted open.
Yeah, but look, I mean, I had my skull blasted open. It's like, isn't that That's part of being why a kid? We look the way we I mean, do. I got a huge scar on my chin. I got a huge. I knocked myself unconscious. I broke my wrist. I cut my hand open. It's like I was in the ER all the time. I broke my front tooth.
It's all a part of growing
up.
Yeah. Yes. No one pulled that neighbor off of me. Let's go to
what?
Let's go to line 4, Harry. Oh God, I've got a pass. Harry, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
I was just calling in to sort of justify, you know, not watching my kid. We were at a playground, and we were with a lot of friends. We let a 16-year-old babysit our 2 kids, and my one daughter, who was about 3, fell off the top of, like, a 12-foot slide and was completely knocked out cold, probably close to a minute.
That'll learn them.
And, yeah. So, like, ever since then, you know, I'll never let them be unattended on any playground till they're 30.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So you're kind of agreeing with us, right? Because she goes, same thing, man. She'll go up to the top of them slides, and they have like that little railing, and she does this, like this little bar that goes across the top. So
monkey
she,
bars.
Well, no, it's at the top of the slide, and like you can hang onto it and like swing out a little bit,
get
and,
a little
like,
momentum.
And I'm like, she's gonna fling herself right off this freaking thing, and like to knock herself out for like a minute. I'd be terrified. Are you kidding me?
I did think it was weird that last caller plans on taking his kids to the playground at 30.
And we're getting a lot of calls from construction workers saying that anything over 6 feet, they have to tie in on something. Like if they're working on construction and it's above 6 feet, they got to clip into something.
6 feet.
And here our kids are 12 feet in the air. With
So, I guess all those construction workers are sissies.